much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Kevin, do you happen to have any Christmas thoughts?
Sure. Christmas is an over-commercialized holiday that stores use to overcharge you for crap you don't need.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Silent night, holy night. Jingle bells, walking in a windy wonderland.
How was that for a fabulous Christmas carol medley? It's me, Pee Wee Herman, in case you didn't figure it out.
Duh!
I'm here to just wish everybody the merriest, merriest, merriest of Christmases.
Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends.
And now...
We wish you a Firebeer mug. We wish you a Firebeer mug. We wish you a Firebeer mug before the new year.
Our feature presentation.
How...
Ain't that the truth?
Dare
that the truth.
That little girl...
Even
she's
the
so
children.
Cute too. She's got that little laugh at the end there. She's so happy just with the thought of firing beer mug, which is what we all want for New Year's. I do put that on my Santa Claus list every single year, but so far, no good. Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another all new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday, the 16th of December. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Bean. How are you?
Did I hear you got a tree over the weekend?
Yeah, got a tree over the weekend. Decorated it last night, looked up, and realized that I should have been in bed like an hour ago. It just doesn't feel like I should be here.
Why that? We still have jobs even though it's December, right? You
it
know
feels
that.
Like we should be done. I don't
should
know.
Be on vacation.
Yes.
was there ever a thought to not get a tree? I'm always surprised, I guess I should say, that adults go to all the trouble to get a tree if there are no kids involved at Christmas.
Well, this was at my boyfriend's house. Mm-hmm. So his kids are coming home for Christmas, and he's having a big Christmas Eve thing. So I personally do not have a tree.
You don't do a tree, right?
No. You know what? I have a little fake one. I do a little bit of decorating in my house just because I like it, but I don't go out and get a real tree.
Because I do feel like Christmas trees are mostly for kids, so you can put presents under them.
Yeah, or if you have a lot of people over, it's fun.
Right, exactly. Well, we are getting down to the nitty gritty, and I want to thank, lest I forget later on, I want to thank everybody that showed up in Fullerton at the Slide Bar on Friday morning. Once again, they were tremendous hosts for us there at the Slide Bar.
We love
those guys so much. And second of all, the crowd, what a great group it was this year. As long as you were talking about or showing boobs, they were 100% with you.
They were so happy.
Anything else, though, they had no time for.
Nope, that's exactly right. That
tough,
was
tough crowd. If you got off the areola topic, they weren't with you so much.
And
but it
I
was
love
great to meet so many listeners.
All of the people that have been there year after year.
Yes.
You know, you hear that it's their fifth and sixth year of coming.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's quite a tradition. But
yeah.
We had a lot of fun out there for the Miss Double December pageant. And, of course, we are going to talk to Brittany, our Miss Double December 2014, later on today and find out what it was like for her and how her weekend is and figure out when we can see that girl again. All right. Let me get started with this story to get us going. This is certainly in the holiday spirit. I don't know if you heard about this contest that Howard Stern was doing on his Sirius radio show recently. It's called Get My Grandpa Laid, which I think is a wonderful, touching thing for the holidays.
No, I missed that.
Apparently, a bunch of guys competed. I didn't hear it. I've only read a little bit here and there about it, so I don't know what the particulars of the contest were. But you could nominate your grandpa to win this prize, and the prize was to go visit the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada, in Carson City.
Oh, all right.
Our Dennis Hoff, who we have on the show from time to time, he's the man that runs the Bunny Ranch there, and they were given away, you know, basically a free ride, free visit with one of the ladies there,
mm-hmm.
For your grandpa if he won the contest. Well, this man won the contest. Johnny Orris is his name. He is 86 years old. He lives in Illinois. He was nominated by his grandson, and he beat out all the other grandpas to win the prize. So they fly him to Nevada to the Bunny Ranch, and there's a little party in his honor, and he gets to meet Dennis Hoff, the owner of the place, and gets to select the ladies that he's going to be sharing his evening with. I mean, does it get any better for an 86-year-old? Who,
it's
by the way,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. His wife died 10 or 12 years ago. He's not had sex, has not had a girlfriend or anything since, so he's really looking forward to it, but he decides to do one more thing before he heads into the dark night with the ladies, and that's enjoy a steak dinner where he promptly chokes to death.
No.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I never would have guessed this ending. I thought maybe Viagra and then a heart attack. That was going to be my guess.
He choked to death on his steak dinner, and that is how his evening ended. He was all the way there. He had the party. He met the girls. Why not live it up and get yourself a delicious steak dinner?
Oh, that's so
sad. And he choked to death and died.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I mean, is there any... Look, it's a sad story, and it sounds like the kind of death that was preventable, just a fluke accident.
Yeah.
But is there anything to... He was as happy as he was probably been in a long time, as happy as he's probably ever going to be in that moment. Maybe it might have been nice if he would have had his chance with the ladies, but who knows how that would have gone. At least this time he was so full of anticipation. He had a huge party in his honor and so many people around him cheering him on. He's enjoying a delicious free steak dinner. It might have been as good as it got for him. I don't know.
Yeah, because at 87, really, how is that going to go?
How's that going to go? Exactly, right. Yeah.
So all right, know. Good on. Good job.
He almost went out on top is what the article in Radar Online says, by the way. And the girls who work at the Bunny Ranch, were they secretly delighted? that's how it went. What do you guys think?
I think they see all kinds. They were probably sad that they couldn't help this guy. They're givers at the end of the day.
Maybe they do have hearts of gold and they actually enjoy making an old man's dream come true. I don't know. But the particulars of that just don't seem very appealing to me. But then again, I'm not a hooker with a heart of gold.
That's right.
Anyway, so you may be having a better holiday than Mr. Orris did, but that's the way he went. Let's talk about today's all new Kevin Abid show, shall we?
Okay.
I got it. First of all, our old friend Pat O'Brien stops by at about a half an hour with a recap of the crazy, crazy NFL weekend. It just gets more unbelievable every week with some of the stuff that happens in those games. I got a great story to tell you about, and we talk about artificial intelligence on this show from time to time. There is a company now that is using robots to make its telemarketer calls. You are talking to a robot who has programs built in where they can answer you based on what your response is.
Really?
Wait till you hear the tape of this. You'll be hard-pressed to believe it's not real. It's pretty crazy. We continue our romp through the top 10 moments of the year here on the Kevin Abid Show for 2013. And today, we count down the top 10 beer mug interview questions.
Fantastic.
Always a lot of fun. Speaking of the NFL, Andrew Siciliano will also be in here from the NFL weekend. I also mentioned that we're going to be talking to Brittany, Miss Double December. We got her on the program today. John Taffer is going to be joining us. He is the host of Bar Rescue on Spike TV. Have you seen this show, guys?
Awesome. I haven't, but I know Muggs and Ralph love it.
Awesome.
He goes in to bars that are struggling and just whips them into shape, kind of like the guys do with the restaurant shows. You know, he goes in and shows them all the things they're doing wrong. And inevitably, they always fight back against his years of experience. They always think they know what they're doing. It's working. They always think they have the answer and it's working for them.
Right.
Yet they're going bankrupt doing it their way. But for some reason, they fight with John about how he wants to do it.
And you should see, Bean, how disgusting some of these bars are. You would never go in there if you knew what was really in these
but
bars.
But they're dark. And so you can't see.
Well, I did see the clip of the one bar that had a horse go through the bar that pooped all over the place, and they just left it there. Awesome. Just left it right there on the floor. That was a low moment even for John doing the bar rescue, but he is a fascinating guy, so we got him on the program today. And speaking of old friends, how about Travis Barker stopping by today? Apparently there is big news for Blink 182 in 2014, and he's going to share that with us. Plus, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat, and that's coming up next, right after this, on the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock. Imagine Dragons are the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Hey, keep listening to K-Rock all this week for your chance to win a pair of passes to Grinchmas at Universal Studios Hollywood. We got those for you next hour between 6 and 7. Get the details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
How was your weekend, dude?
It was lovely. Thank you for asking. As we look at the weekend's showbiz news, sad news, however, Peter O'Toole, prolific and beloved Irish actor, best known probably for his titular role in Lawrence of Arabia, passed away after battling a long sickness. He was 81 years old. Other famous roles included Beckett, Goodbye Mr. Chips, The Stuntman, Lion in Winter, one of my favorite films of all time, my favorite year. He's genius in that. He set a record with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences by being nominated 8 times for an Oscar but never winning.
Mm.
Wow.
He did receive an honorary Academy Award in 2003, but he said, let's not confuse this with a real Oscar.
They were all for Best Actor, right?
Yeah, all Best Actor nominations. So, obviously a talented guy, just never was able to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
It does go to show you that not winning an Oscar doesn't mean you're not one of the best actors of all time.
This is true. He was part of a gang of British actors in the 60s who were legendary drinkers, God bless them. He was friends with Richard Harris and Oliver Reed and Richard Burton. And these guys knew how to do some damage. So considering his chain smoking and hard drinking, 81 years old, pretty ripe old age for Peter O'Toole. Yeah. So.
I'm sad that Kevin's not here today so you could try to get him to remember who Peter O'Toole is.
Yeah, that would be, we don't have that kind of time. We only have 3 days before our vacation this week, so I don't think we could actually get into that. Or even harder still, to try to get him to know who Billy Jack was.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Laughlin.
I love Billy Jack.
Did you love the Billy Jack movies?
I loved them.
They were classics. It was a series of movies in the 70s mm-hmm. about a half Native American, Green Beret, Vietnam vet, and martial arts expert who comes back to us. I guess we're not going to hear that whole
I didn't want to interrupt your flow here, man. When you're ready for it, you tell me. I got it.
Who came back to his hometown and started fighting for the little people.
Yeah.
He would defend the defenseless. And he'd do so with his martial arts. It was pretty spectacular stuff back in the day. He co-wrote, directed, and starred in all the films. Billy Jack, The Trial of Billy Jack, and Billy Jack Goes to Washington. the movies got less impactful as the series went on. But Billy Jack's still remembered fondly by those of us who remember watching it on late-night television back in the day. He passed away at the age of 82. And there was a hit song that came out of Billy Jack. Are you playing it on a turntable with a needle?
I think the YouTube uploaded it from vinyl, I think is what happened there.
Bean is spinning vinyl in the mornings now. He's on the ones and twos.
Whatever happened to
one
him?
One soldier rides
the actor
away.
That's
the part we
Billy
never got
Jack.
To.
All right.
What happened?
One tin soldier rides away.
Yeah, that's right. That was the hit song from Billy Jack.
Yeah, what did happen to him?
Yeah, where did he go after those movies?
I do not know. Maybe you
can
do a little research.
From acting.
Do a little research about Tom Laughlin or Laughlin, depending on how you pronounce his name. Billy Jack. He used to wear this like flat brimmed, like Smokey the Bear hat. Remember?
He
was a badass.
Yep.
You just poured flour all over this beautiful girl's face. I don't think I like that. And he was real soft-spoken. And he would just like take out all the guys. It was awesome. Check it out. You'll laugh. We didn't laugh then, but we'll laugh now. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. As expected, the debut of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, won the top spot for the weekend box office chart. Didn't do as well as expected, but did very well for itself. It made $73.7 million in its debut.
Isn't it amazing that could be considered in any way a disappointment?
Yeah. Well, they thought it was going to make a few more bucks. Then, after the first one, rather. Number two, Frozen, did $22.2 million. Then Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas came in at number three with $16 million. Hunger Games Catching Fire, $13.2 million. Thor's Dark World came in with $2.7 million. Out of the Furnace was sixth. Delivery Man, Philomena, The Book Thief, and Homefront rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. And Linda Lohan! She is, she's still got it. I don't care if sober or not sober, she's still got it. She is just as immature as ever, according to RadarOnline.com. She was a mess, they say, during an event at Art Basel in Miami. If you remember the Art Basel movement, is it Basel or Basel?
I think it is Basel.
I think it is too. It's like this festival party scene with people pretending to be artsy and stuff. And it's an excuse to party, it seems like, more than anything else. She never let anyone see her with a drink while she was at this party. But she was acting erratic And she had people thrown out of parties because they were taking her picture.
Hmm.
She also freaked out whenever she would see Morgan O'Connor's ex-girlfriend on the town, because apparently that is her current boyfriend, and she doesn't like that relationship or whatever. And apparently she was a mess. But the good news is she also announced this weekend that she's going to write a tell-all book about her life.
I want to talk to, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com next hour. I want to talk to him about that, find out if he has any details. What do you suppose they pay someone like Lindsay Lohan, who has had a life that a lot of people seem to be fascinated with? What do they pay her to write a book about? How much do you think?
She has been offered, according to this story, in the mid-six figures.
Wow.
So, $500,000 we talking about?
I wonder who's going to write it.
What? She's an artist, man. You don't know. Right. She's apparently gotten several offers for the book that's still, as she says, in the early stages, which means L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. I need a nap. We'll wait and see what she comes up with. I wonder if you can get a venereal disease from a book. I'd like to read it, but I'm afraid to. I'm afraid if I open the pages, I might catch something.
I was wondering if you actually would at all be interested in reading that, because I would not.
I would.
I mean, I'd like to see excerpts. Show me the juicy parts.
It depends on how honest she is. So when someone writes their own life story, invariably I think you're getting a sanitized version. Even if they're going out of their way to try to be as truthful as possible, you can't help but try to put yourself in the best light, I think.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of good sex, drugs, and rock and roll in that story. Today's celebrity birthdays, Stephen Bochco, writer, producer, TV legend, 70 years old today. Singer-guitarist Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top is 64. He's the one with the beard, right?
He's one of the ones with the beard. Yes, that's okay. Right.
Benjamin Bratt is 50. Comedian J.B. Smoove. How much do we love J.B. Smoove?
He's the best.
48 years old today. And actress Kristen Ritter. You know her as the Bee from 23C or whatever. I don't know whatever that show was, but she's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
John Taffer, the host of Bar Rescue on Spike TV, coming up later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll talk to our new Miss Double D for 2014. Brittany will join us, and Travis Barker from Blink 182. That's all coming up. First, though, given that music, that means it's football talk time. Our friend Pat O'Brien has joined us.
Yeah,
from AM 570. Hi, Pat.
Radio Rescue. That's what I'm doing here, coming in here on Mondays and helping you guys with your NFL coverage, because I know you guys struggle when it comes to sports.
Well, we don't have a sports guy, Pat, that's for sure.
An amazing sports show on the radio, Primetime.
That's what I understand, yes.
Steve Hartman. Just ask Hartman, he'll tell you. We cover everything because what we say matters. Each and every day. So I come in here on Monday to try to help you guys out, talking about the NFL and everything everybody's talking about. At least Liv Tyler was last night when I was watching the game with her.
Okay, Pat, could you not drop names of people you don't know?
You weren't hanging out with Liv Tyler last night. I have friends in show business. I've been doing this for a long time, and I got a lot of friends in show business. I'm sorry you don't. It makes you jealous, but that's just the way things are. Liv Tyler and I are very close.
Okay.
Very close with her dad, of course, Steven Tyler. I was in Aerosmith for a short period of time.
No.
Playing keyboards for them. Yeah, it's true, Lisa.
I don't think so.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Because it's a fact and you're just wrong.
Pretty good keyboardist, by the way. And I used to be an Aerosmith.
Huh.
Until they threw me out because my demons. I was fighting my demons.
Of course you were.
Did have your demons, yes.
But now I've conquered my demons and I'm back and Liv and I are very close. And I said to her, what's up with Tony Romo?
What is up with Tony Romo? That's a great question.
Everyone this morning talking about the fact that two picks in the last 2 minutes of that game cost the Dallas Cowboys that game against Matt Flynn, filling in still for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But, looks like it's going to be a battle down to the wire for the NFC East between Philadelphia, who got beat up on by Matt Castle, and those Vikings.
There were a lot of surprising games this weekend, but, I mean, the Cowboys wanted to be up 26-3 at the half and lose that game. That's just fallen apart of epic proportions.
I'll tell you, though, Matt Flynn looked pretty good in that second half, too.
He sure did.
A lot of people blaming Tony Romo, but he looked like Brett Favre out there, the way he was slinging that ball around. So 37-36 was the final score. Dallas still a game behind Philadelphia for the NFC East. And a lot of... excuse me. Yeah, my demons. My demons coming back to get me.
I thought you beat those.
Ask Tom Brady how he feels this morning. A lot of teams that were supposed to win this weekend did not, including the Patriots against the Dolphins. He's got to be a little angry. At least he looked a little angry to me on the TV. They lost.
Well, you saw his press conference where he dropped the S word in the press conference talking about the way the team had played. Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy's not too happy about how his team played. Tom Coughlin, who's the coach of the New York Giants. They lost 23-0 against the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, yeah, I know Seattle's a good team, but looks like the Giants have given up on Tom Coughlin. He said so as much. He said some of his teammates just didn't show up. What's going to happen to that team? We don't know, but Eli Manning thinks he won. That's all we know. At least that's what I was saying to Nicole Richie and Kelsey Grammer. We were hanging out last night. I went by Debbie Harry's house for fondue. You guys like fondue?
Sure.
I love fondue. It's one of my demons, actually. But I stepped outside to have an e-cigarette with Juliette Lewis. And she was saying that the Chiefs have regained their mid-season form. 56 points they hung on the Oakland Raiders. 56-31 was the outcome of that game. St. Louis Rams beaten up on the New Orleans Saints. What happened there? Saints, another team, was supposed to win that game. They lost 27-16. I remember Jack Black saying to me when we were looking over the scores, me and Andy Richter, that the Chiefs, a lot of people were saying they were paper tigers, beneficiaries of a soft schedule. But I think that team's for real, and I think they're gonna show up in the playoffs and make life difficult for some people. So what's going to happen tonight? Baltimore Ravens versus the Detroit Lions. I'll tell you something. That NFC North division is contentious. The Lions, Green Bay is still in it with that win yesterday. And, of course, the Bears also won with the return of Jay Cutler. You know, Joe Jonas was telling me that he would have started McCown. But that's when Seth Green and Vin Diesel said he was crazy because Jay Cutler, of course, is the starter. And you don't lose your job to injury, they always say. So Jay had a little rust in the first half, was able to come back and we lead that team to victory. So the Bears also still in it. So could be anybody's division up there in the NFC North.
Who are you watching the game with tonight, Pat? Do you have plans already? You're just going to be a social butterfly.
David Bowie, Mike Judge, Fred Durst, Armie Hammer, and Joel McHale and I will all be getting together. We're going over to Andy Sandberg's
house. Unlikely combination.
We're going over to Andy Sandberg's house for a little poker, a little mahjong, and then we're going to sit down and watch the game. Detroit Lions fighting for their lives. Baltimore Ravens also trying to fight to keep their playoff hopes alive. So it's a big, big game tonight. I'm predicting a team with an L in their name will win. So it's either the Baltimore Ravens or the Detroit Lions.
All right.
That's really going out on a limb there, huh, Pat?
Ask Cartman. He'll tell you.
Okay, Pat. Thanks for stopping by.
Prime time.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Monday means we catch up with Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom. The final appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show for 2013.
Forever?
No, just this year. Just this year. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Bean.
Hey, before we get started, I want to...
Did you guys see Homeland last night?
I'm not going to... No, don't say it. Don't say it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, I promise, but oh my God.
I have done everything I can to avoid spoilers online this morning, but I do understand...
I won't do it.
I do understand that they've really painted themselves into a box that's going to be tough to get out of next year.
Oh, you know what? But here's the thing. They said exactly that at the end of last season. They said exactly the same thing. Painted themselves into a box, and I thought this season was spectacular.
Well, I'm excited to see it.
Was spectacular.
I'm excited to see it. Hey, listen, Harvey, before we talk about what's on the site today, I wanted to thank you personally because I did take your tip from a couple of weeks ago about the Bill Bryson book, the One Summer book.
Oh, wasn't it great?
It was great because I had a couple of flights down there for Kevin and Bean-related business, so I took your advice to the Harvey Levin Book Club, and it was wonderful, and I very much recommend it, especially if you've got a dad on your Christmas list this year, somebody who likes to read books, is interested at all in history, pick it up. It's called One Summer, America 1927 by Bill Bryson. It has the Harvey Levin stamp of approval and mine, too.
Can I just do one quick Oprah Book of the Month Club?
Yeah, you got something else for me? Sure.
Yeah, because this is so for your audience.
Okay.
Do you know who Chuck Klosterman is?
Mm. Of course, yes.
Who?
He's the writer for Spin Magazine.
Oh, okay.
He's so good.
And there's hilarious.
I'm telling you, there is a book he wrote called Killing Yourself to Live, where he goes around the country and finds the places where big rock stars died. And it is, I'm telling you, it's interesting, and it's so funny. I mean, it literally is laugh-out-loud funny. It's fabulous.
Okay.
And it's perfect for your audience.
That is a great tip. Chuck Klosterman is his name with a K if you want to look that up. All right, Harvey, let's get to the site because TMZ making a little bit of news right now, appearing on the Beyoncé surprise album and video collection, which was, let's start just by talking about the genius idea that she and I assume Jay-Z came up with to drop this thing out of the blue with no advance publicity, flying completely in the face of conventional wisdom these days, which means you have to go out and flog everything for 4 months before it drops.
So incredibly smart. But, you know, I mean, it's not going to work for everybody, but it really, really worked for her. And, you know, just, now, I got to tell you a story, two things. One, you know, our guy, one of our camera guy in New York, Adam, is in the video. And
yes,
I remember
how that happened.
He was at Coney Island, and he was there, and we kind of thought it might have been a music video when she was there, but she called out, she said, where's TMZ? And she pulled him in, and that was it. We did a funny thing with it on the show, and that was it. And then, all of a sudden, you know, the album comes out, and Adam's in it, and he's getting like a million texts. It's so funny. He lives at home, and he says his dad walks in the bedroom and starts shaking the bed like, earthquake, earthquake. And I thought, Adam, this is like you're 14 years old. You're on the album. But it's very cool. But I got to tell you this. This does not serve me well at all. So I think it came out Friday, didn't it? Yeah, it came out
That's
Friday.
That's right.
So I shouldn't tell you this. I mean, I'm going to lose. If I have any credibility, I'm going to lose it, but I'll tell you what the hell.
You have none. Don't worry, Harvey.
Okay, good. I was sleeping. I go to sleep very early. I go to sleep at like 9 o'clock. So at about 11 o'clock, 10:45, my cell phone rings, and I thought it was actually the alarm to get up, and I kind of like stumbled out of bed, and I pick up the phone, and I get this woman's on the other end, and she says, Harvey, this is Beyonce's publicist. I just wanted you to know that your cameraman is in the music video for the album that Beyonce released, and I wasn't feeling good, and I was tired, and I was sleeping, and I said, that's great. Can this wait till the morning? And I hung up, and I had the damn scoop on this stoop and this album, and I went back to sleep.
And by the way, when she told you that, nobody knew Beyonce had an album coming out.
Nobody knew, and I was so, I couldn't believe I did this. I couldn't believe I did
that. That is funny. And by the way, you're right. Very few artists could get away with dropping it the way she did.
Yeah.
It's already sold over 500,000 copies, which we so very rarely see for any new release these days.
Yeah, now what's going to happen is, you know, a much lesser singer is going to release something on Twitter and they're going to sell like 14 copies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the problem, that it works for famous people and it works for somebody like Beyonce. I don't know. It was brilliant.
It was
really, really smart.
And hilarious that one of your guys with the TMZ camera is in the video, Chip.
I know.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, just because Ralph was talking about it, I wanted to know if you had any more details. Lindsay Lohan apparently being offered big bucks to write a tell-all book. Now, how likely is Lindsay? I know she's been in a reflective period this year, but how likely is she to name names and tell the stories we want to hear?
Well, she says it is going to be no holds barred, and that it's going to be about drug use, and it's going to be about her parents, and it's going to be about all this stuff. Here's the problem. If you guys read autobiographies of celebrities, at best, they are colored. The prism for their books tend to be a little distorted from reality because they paint themselves, you know, in a slightly different way than the rest of everybody else sees them. Lindsay Lohan and the truth rarely collide.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion that she's going to write this kind of honest book, I don't know. I mean, it seems improbable to me, but she's got a couple of agents, literary agents, who are definitely interested in repping her, and we are told she's got a couple of six-figure offers. So, I mean, a six-figure offer from a big celebrity, that's not necessarily huge. I mean, a lot of them get seven-figure offers. Nonetheless, apparently she's getting offers for this.
I mean, she certainly does have the stories to tell if she's willing to incriminate herself and her friends.
Right.
Yeah,
never done that.
Yeah, because I just can't see her, even if she's not currently hanging out with Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and people like that, I just can't see her burning bridges by telling stories out of school about things that she saw. You know what I mean?
So here's the takeaway. The takeaway is Bill Bryson, Chuck Klosterman, definitely. Lindsay Lohan, I don't know.
There you go.
Not sure I'm going to read that one.
Those are your book reports that are due after the Christmas break. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Of course, Harvey on the TV at 4 o'clock on Fox Channel 11. And then that's the TMZ Live and then TMZ Old School Show at 6. You have been so great to us once again this year in 2013. Harvey, I wish you nothing but a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you in 2014, okay?
And you guys, too. Happy holidays.
You, too.
Latest from Lord, that's Team on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. By the way, we had Lord at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show a couple of weekends ago, and then she flew immediately back home to New Zealand and was in all of Taylor Swift's 24th birthday party photos.
Wow.
They're besties now, Lord
really?
And Taylor Swift, which is not necessarily something I would have predicted.
Not at all.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. John Taffer is going to be joining us next there. He from Bar Rescue. Right now, though, I found this so fascinating. They're doing so much with artificial intelligence these days where they can make robots sound like people. And one of the companies that sells healthcare is using them to do robocalls. You know how you get those calls from what are obviously machines? Well, it's getting harder and harder to tell whether they are machines or not. And one of the people who got called recently and wrote an article about it is the Time Magazine Washington Bureau Chief, a guy named Michael Scherer. In fact, he suspected that the person he was speaking with was not human, so started asking questions out of the blue, random questions like, what vegetable is found in tomato soup? And then the voice would say, I don't understand the question. So he asked a couple of other questions where she said, I'm sorry, I have a bad connection. I didn't hear you. And it always seemed so suspicious to him that he got the phone number and called back and recorded the call. And I have one of the calls. I have one of two calls that he made back to what turns out to be a computer who goes by the name of Samantha West. And I wanted to play some of this because I want you to tell me how unbelievably realistic this person sounds who's really a robot.
Hello. How are you today?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm calling about an online request you once made about health insurance coverage. We work with all major companies and compare all the rates for you. I can get you a quote in about 5 minutes, okay?
Are you a robot?
Okay, so obviously the reason she sounds like a real human is that this is a recording of a real human.
Right.
But what's the artificial intelligence part of it is that you ask a question and that computer is able to synthesize whatever it is that you've said and come up with the appropriate realistic response back. The guy on the phone now, Mike Scherer from Time Magazine, is trying to just nail her down on finding out whether she's a robot or not. Figures that's the way to go. So let's see what she says to that.
Are you a robot?
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, but you sound like a robot.
I understand. Can we continue?
Sure.
Are you currently on Medicare?
No. Why are the questions so personal?
We received your online application for health insurance, and if you're still looking for affordable health insurance with excellent coverage, we can give you a free quote.
By the way, it's interesting that they set up this robot's automatic responses to be so much like what we're used to from real human telemarketers, which is that it's almost impossible to get them off the script.
Yeah, they just keep going. But I got to tell you, he sounds a little like a robot, too.
That's an excellent point.
Why should I give my information to you?
I understand, but we do work with all carriers, and I can get you a low rate. Getting a quote will only take a minute, okay?
By the way, how much does it sound like you're talking to a
real
person?
Yes, especially that okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You really do sound like a robot.
I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
By the way, she kind of sounded a little bit hurt when he said he was going to hang up, didn't she?
But why are they telling her to lie?
I don't know, but I also feel like she sounds hot enough that I almost ought to be paying $1.99 a minute. All right, so one of Michael Scherer from Time Magazine, one of his coworkers calls back. And by the way, I'll give out the phone number if you want to call and talk to the robot. I will give out the phone number once we hear this other piece of tape, because apparently she's there and answers the phone all the time. So he calls back, and he is going to try to get to the bottom just to try to get her to admit that she is a robot. I just think that they lost an entire day's work at Time Magazine just calling and fooling around with this voicemail.
Well, I'm calling about an online request you once made about health insurance coverage.
Okay.
We work with all major companies and compare...
Hey, are you a robot?
What? No, I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's crazy. I see you just sound so much like a robot.
I am a real person. Maybe we have a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Isn't that interesting, by the way, that she says the exact same thing two times in a row, because that's what she's programmed to do. I mean, I wonder how many different things they've recorded that she can choose from, they can choose from to play back depending on what your question is.
What?
I mean, I wonder if the question is not directly related to healthcare if they only have a limited number of responses at the ready, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I can't
imagine.
Will
you tell me you're not a robot? Just say I'm not a robot, please.
I am a real person.
I mean, I believe you, but will you just say I'm not a robot? It'll make me feel better to hear you say it.
There is a live person here.
By the way, the laugh is creepy.
Yes, it is. It's a little creepy.
It's a robot who's laughing at us.
But I know there is. It would just make me feel so much better to hear you say, I am not a robot.
What?
If you could say the words, I'm not a robot, it would really mean a lot to me.
I am a real person. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I just want to hear you say, I am not a robot.
By the way, how much fun are they having at Time Magazine calling and harassing this poor robot?
Too much.
Yes, I'm a real person.
Right, but will you say I'm not a robot?
Are you there?
Okay, there you go. That's call number two. If you want to call Samantha West, the friendly-sounding woman on the other end of the phone for the insurance information hotline, here's the number. It's area code 484-589-5611. This was as of a couple of days ago. It turns out it's Premier Health Plans Incorporated that are making the robocalls. But I don't know. It's going to get harder and harder to tell now when somebody calls whether you're – like some people won't hang up on telemarketers because they know it's a real person who's just trying to make a living on the other end of the phone. They don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
But once you know it's a robot, man, game over, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times. So the young man drumming on that song is named Travis Barker. He joins us in studio at 9 o'clock this morning, straight up here on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ. Find out what's new for Blink-182 for 2014.
He's got a future, that kid.
I think so. Yeah. He's on to something. Well. Ralph Garman is here, time for the Showbiz Beat. After that, right after the top of the hour, right before we get to your friend John Taffer, by the way, Ralph.
Love me some
I know
Taffer.
You love John. We're going to be counting down because this is the most wonderful time of the year as we start to take a look back on the year that was. We're going to count down the top 10 beer mug interview questions of 2013.
Wow, that's saying something.
Mugs always delivers. That's one thing. You know, some of us come and go on this show, good and bad, up and down. Mugs, he has found a consistent level and has managed to maintain it.
Fire! Indeed.
Fire! Exactly.
Oh, yes.
That's coming up first, though. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Sad news over the weekend. Several showbiz luminaries have passed away, including Peter O'Toole. Renowned Irish actor, best known for his role, I guess, in Lawrence of Arabia. Still, that's what brought him to everyone's consciousness as an actor. He had been a stage actor for a long time and then became a movie star with that one role. It was one of those roles where no one knew who he was, and then he starred in that film, and it changed his life and career forever. Nominated for 8 times for an Oscar, but never won one. Sad news. Partied with the best of them, did Peter O'Toole. And considering his lifestyle, he reached 81, which shocked all of us. Because his contemporaries, like Richard Burton and Oliver Reed and Richard Harris, all long gone. So he gets the last laugh, I guess. Also passed away this weekend, Billy Jack, writer, director, and star Tom Laughlin. Starred in the legendary 1971 film Billy Jack, about a half Native American Green Beret from Vietnam turns after the war and kicks redneck ass. He was kind of the Steven Seagal before Steven Seagal was. That's who Billy Jack was. Good times. And actress Joan Fontaine, legendary actress, nominated for Rebecca and for Suspicion. Had another actress sister, Olivia de Havilland, who was a year older than she was, also was a very popular actress. She passed away after 4 different husbands. Oh, no wonder she lived so long. She just wanted to torture those ex-husbands. Passed away at 96.
You know, I never buy into the theory that some people have that celebrities die in threes.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to argue.
this weekend.
Boom, boom, boom.
Indeed. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, came in at number one with $73.7 million. It's pretty strong. Frozen, $22.2 million. Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas debuted at $16 million. Guess it could have been worse.
Nobody gives a crap!
Some people do. The Hunger Games Catching Fire, $13.2 million. Thor the Dark World, $2.7 million. And the rest of the top 10 goes like this. Out of the Furnace, Delivery Man, Philomena, The Book Thief, and Homefront, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Melissa McCarthy, thinking about making a change in her career, according to Star Magazine. She is seriously considering walking away from her sitcom, Mike and Molly.
I think it's about time.
I am stunned every week that she's still on that show.
Yes.
Well, I guess she has a contract. But her success in film certainly means that she could leave that show behind without missing a beat. Johnny Depp is currently filming a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow and apparently is none too happy about it. Star Magazine reporting that Gwyneth Paltrow is a big pain in the ass.
Really?
Reports that she is all about giving everyone on the set advice about everything, including Johnny. People on the set say she tries to tell him what he should eat, where he should eat, where he should travel, what he should do, all kinds of unsolicited advice. People on the set say he's taken to avoiding her unless they're actually filming. When the cameras stop, he just sort of falls back into the shadows and disappears so he doesn't have to listen to her goop anymore.
Look, she can't stop herself but telling everybody else how they should live their lives,
oh,
can she?
Oh, man. That would just be... Justin Bieber.
Guilty.
I think he is. Of what yet? We haven't really found out. But Star Magazine's reporting that people who have witnessed this say Bieber uses his own name as a pickup line. He will walk up to girls at, like, a party at his house or at a nightclub and ask them if they want to get Biebered.
What a dumb douchebag.
He asks them if they want to get Biebered. Hey, you want to get Biebered?
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Sources say he thinks he's a master in the love department and that girls should feel honored that he hits on them. Did you hear about the girl in Australia that he called a beached whale?
No.
No.
14-year-old girl lying by the pool.
Oh.
In a bikini.
Oh, my God.
And he goes up to her. And this is according to a woman. This is a highly professional woman who was also staying at the hotel in Perth. I believe it was the Hyatt. And she was by the pool. And she witnessed this and was so outraged that she made a formal complaint with the hotel and then also released the story to the press because she was so incensed. But there's a girl sitting by the pool with long black hair. And Bieber comes up and says, "Are you Hawaiian?" And she goes, "No." And he goes, "Well, you look like a beached whale. You should go on The Biggest Loser."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the woman who reported the story said that the girl was reduced to tears and was just
You'll
horrified.
Never get over that.
She was with three of her friends, and he embarrassed her in front of her girlfriends, and they slunk away from the pool, and they all picked up their stuff and left. And
he's a dick.
He's a special kid.
I'm going to push that ass in the pool.
He's a special kid, that Bieber. And Ashton Kutcher, they say, is channeling Howie Mandel these days. He's a bit of a germaphobe. Ashton recently got on a Southwest flight and basically hosed everything down in sanitizer, even wiped the seat down before he would finally take his seat. Well, in all fairness, Southwest, you know.
Yeah, but it's Ashton Kutcher.
I've been a little curious about what's been some of the stains on that seat myself sometimes on Southwest. So.
Look, there's a reason why they're able to land and then take off within 11 minutes at an airport. They don't have a lot of cleaning crews coming through on Southwest.
And I know, you know, that Mile High Club. You don't know what who's going on there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Paul Van Dyke is 42 years old today. Actress Kristen Ritter celebrates her 32nd birthday. J.B. Smoove, he's 48 years old. Is Larry David coming back with Curb Your Enthusiasm, or is that all over?
I don't think so.
I think there's another season. Yeah.
In like 3 years?
I think he takes his time, though. He just lets you know when he's ready to start filming them, and you don't know until then whether it's happening or not.
I missed that show. Although, did you see the movie that he did?
I saw about a third of it, I think, and that was
I didn't
enough.
Finish it either.
I really enjoyed it.
And did you?
I thought it was terrible.
JB was very funny in that.
JB was very funny.
Actor Benjamin Bratt is 50 years old today. Singer and guitarist Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, he is 64 years old. And writer-producer Stephen Bochco, my old boss from NYPD Blue, celebrates his 70th birthday today. Numbers the same, Steve. If you want to call me, got anything going on, have not changed the number. The number is still the same. He's 70. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. John Taffer joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. He, of course, from Bar Rescue on Spike TV. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Some of your favorite people on the program today, Ralph.
It truly is. It's a me day.
And our pal Travis Barker from Blink-182 will
like
be here
him.
At
Do
night.
Not like him at all.
How dare you. I'll tell you someone you definitely don't like is Beer Mug.
Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug!
I'm starting to think that Santa Claus isn't real because every year I sit on that fat old man's lap and I ask him the same thing. Can you please fire Beer Mug? And every year it gets to be January and he's still working here. Yeah. So what the hell, old man? What the hell? We do send Beer Mug out on the red carpets, though, at every interview opportunity. And once a year, we'd like to look back at some of the greatest moments of the calendar year just passed. So it's time now for the top 10 Beer Mug interview questions of 2013.
The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. That's outrageous. When Beer Mug's on the case, he'll stick a microphone in your face. Questions, he's got none. He just yells, that is awesome. And when you think that is it, he says, that's fantastic. Yeah. Beer Mug is such a stud. Oh no, I mean he's a dud. Top Beer Mug interview moments. Let's go.
Sorry, we're all out of time, but thanks for listening to the Top Beer Mug interview moments.
One of the things I always notice and impressed about with Beer Mug is he's not a one-trick pony. He's not just bad in one direction. He's bad in all directions. He's got lots of different ways to screw you up.
Yes.
And the first one is he just wears you down. Speaking of Avicii that we were just playing here on K-Rock, I believe this question was for Avicii in front of the Grammy Roundtable this year. I think ahead of the Grammys this year, he caught up with that best-selling musician.
It seems like, you know, dance and electronic is really, like, not what, in, like, the last 4 years, I would say, just has exploded onto the scene, you know. People who were not originally, you know, tuned into it have, there's so many artists now, and I think it's great that it's really hit the scene hard.
That had everything but I'm a drummer in it.
Do you think it's great? I'm sure Avicii is really fascinated whether you think it's great or not. Yeah. Why do you say that? Why are you volunteering your opinion to him?
I think he wants to hear it. Right?
Why not take that an opportunity to ask a question of someone? We might learn something more about the artist.
You think
there wasn't a question?
Yeah,
there was
exactly.
No question.
I have no question.
That was Kevin-esque, by the way, in its scope,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was.
Very impressive. All right, we don't. It's lost to history who Muggs is talking to in clip number 9 of his top 10 interview moments, but this is at the Bad Grandpa red carpet. He's speaking with one of the actors in the film. And what I love about Beer Mug is his ability to come up with, to craft an instantly great follow-up question.
Now, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet, no.
So this will be your first time.
Yes, absolutely.
I am excited to see it myself.
That just has everything, doesn't it?
It really does.
We're at the Grammy Roundtable in February where Muggs catches up with Alabama Shakes. And again, a curious light of questioning at number 8.
So this is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
No, of course not.
No. Your experience when it comes to L.A.?
I mean, what am I? I'm experienced being on the earth.
Okay, you know? Okay.
Poor Brittany was just so lost. Like, what is she supposed to say to this guy?
You're experienced in L.A.
What does that mean?
God,
number 7, back to the Bad Grandpa red carpet. Tony Hawk shows up. Skateboarding legend Tony Hawk. And, well, Muggs got a great question for him.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction. Mr. Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius,
yeah.
Right? Where could people find that?
Okay, now, Muggs. Your show is on Sirius. Where could people find that? It's on Sirius, Muggs.
I meant the station, but yeah, that kind of sounded stupid.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Top 10 Beer Mug interview moments for 2013. You were in New York City. Was this the guy? Who was the guy you were talking to about how much you love being black?
It was one of those,
Muggs. Do you remember?
It was one of the guys trying to sell their rap album on the street. Like
okay.
We have here on Hollywood and Highland, they have that in Times Square.
So Muggs has already told the guy that if you go back far enough in his family history, you're going to find some brothers. So he's already bragging. He's already trying to bond with the street musician, right?
Yeah.
Then he has this great exchange.
I love
black
guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Sure. Who doesn't? It's a place we all want to move to is Compton.
Did you think that he was going to buy that you wished you were from Compton? You wouldn't drive through Compton with your windows down. Why are you lying to the man?
I don't know. That was a scared little beer mug, I think, trying to just come up with something to make conversation.
Can we replay that really quickly so we can hear beer mug pandering to the gentleman by saying the first thing in the clip you'll hear is, I love black guys.
Yeah, here we go. I think I got it. I'm sorry.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction.
Well, that's Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius,
yeah.
Right? Where could people find that?
I'm sorry, I have it all in one file. Here's the one you want.
I love black
guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
What for? Compton?
No, I wish.
Yeah, at the very beginning of that, you hear him say, I love black guys.
Right.
And if you don't hurt me, I'll love you any way you want me to.
Into the top five now of Beer Mug Interview Moments for 2013. He's talking to someone named Gavin. We don't know who. He's at the Teen Choice Awards. And, well, Muggs comes up with this one for Gavin.
So, Gavin, you're nominated tonight for anything?
I'm not nominated tonight.
I hear you were nominated for OC Music Awards.
I was last year for Best Youth Artist.
And how did that pan out?
I didn't win.
Damn it!
Great research on Gavin, his guest right there.
I like to find out information on the spot.
I can tell.
Now, Gavin, we don't remember exactly, but it seems to be like he's about 17 years old, which is why it's curious that Muggs goes into this line of questioning. Number four in his list is from the same interview.
So, 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So, just bear with me while I try to fill time.
Well, that doesn't sound like that clip.
That's exactly what that was. He's talking to a 17-year-old about something that happened 25 years ago today, but he has no idea what it is.
What? How is that even a thing?
Do you have any idea, Muggs?
Yeah,
you remember?
No, my mind went just totally blank. It was just my ADD kicked in, and I was talking, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Hold on.
Wow, I've never heard anything more disjointed.
We are at the Video Music Awards now in New York City, and this is kind of a big interview for Muggs. He gets a chance to talk to Wands. He's the rapper/singer who sings the hook of Thrift Shop, the Macklemore song. Boy, does Beer Mug not want to talk to him. Boy, is Beer Mug looking for any way he can talk about anything other than whatever Wands got going on.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Wands. I didn't mean to. Sorry, dude. Take your attention away. I don't know who's... Nobody. Okay. Back to Wands. Sorry, Wands.
Wow. How insulting.
Truly.
So you won't talk to him, but you'll let him stand there while you just desperately seek anyone else you can call over on the red carpet so that you don't have to keep talking to him.
The more the merrier, Bean. Good point.
Another classic Beer Mug moment from the same MTV VMAs in New York City is he sees Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson nearby, and he decides he's got to get her over.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
I wonder why she didn't come over.
I love that
How
so much.
How could she not come over?
Really, your supple voice there just... beckoning to her like a siren to a sailor.
And how does Jennifer Hudson become Jay Hutz, by the way? Is another question that we've often had. All right. Well, I think it's clear. Beer Mug is on a roll for 2013. Here's his number one moment. And again, how could this person not have wanted to talk to him on the red carpet?
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez! Selena! God damn it!
Ladies and gentlemen, he's still got it. Hail Beer Mug!
The top Beer Mug interview moments. That's outrageous!
It's been a long time since I've seen Ralph Garman as excited as he is right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I love that damn Bar Rescue show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bar Rescue is the show. It's a huge hit on Spike TV. We could not be more excited to welcome the host, John Taffer, who joins us here.
Hey, good to be here.
You know, John, sometimes Spike will put on the marathons. They'll just put on episode after episode of Bar Rescue, and I realize when I run across it that my day is over. I just sit down, and I just sit there, and I just watch them one after. I just binge watch.
That's good to
Bar
hear,
Rescue.
Man. That's
great,
good to
great
hear.
Show. I was a bartender for 10 years in my failed actor days when I first came out here to Los Angeles. For 10 years, I was a bartender, worked in all kinds of places. Do you find a lot of people who work in the hospitality industry especially relate to your show and feel passionately about it when they watch what you do.
Oh, absolutely. That's why when I go into any restaurant, any bar, any hotel, I'm always known because the industry watches it.
It's fascinating to see. And I think many of us have run across all the problems you've run across in every episode in our own lives. And it's so great. You're like a champion for those of us who worked in those businesses to straighten those people out and make them right.
Sort of the ones who screwed us for years.
Exactly.
It's
yes.
Payback day. I get it, Ralph.
Yeah, it feels good.
John, I would imagine that a lot of people would say, how do you go broke selling alcohol? It seems like that's a license to print money, being able to sell alcohol. But so many people, I mean, the statistics on your show are just amazing. Isn't it 9 out of 10 new bars fail?
Well, the first time being, yeah. About 1 out of 12 succeed the first time. But that's for a rookie who doesn't know what the heck he's doing, right? Mm. So, you know, when you say, well, gee, a drink costs a dollar. They sell it for $5. They got to make money. Yeah, but then there's insurance. There's rent. There's payroll. There's marketing. There's a whole bunch of other things. When you're finished, the average bar makes about 12% of revenue.
Wow.
I mean, that's about it. Yeah. But then there are home runs. You know, you can make 20, 28% if you have a big nightclub. But, you know, bars are not inherently that profitable. You still got to be good at it to make money.
There are so many ways you can screw it up. There's so many steps from getting the booze out of the bottle to getting it to the customer that can go wrong that really cost you in the long run. Right?
Yeah, and to not putting it in yourself. Yes.
Yeah, right.
is that the number one problem?
I think it is. I mean, when I watch a show, invariably I see all of these owners and managers who seem to think it's their party. And they're pouring drinks for their friends, and they're boozing themselves, and they're not watching what's going on, and they're letting the, you know, the beer rot in the taps, and it comes out, and you know, you got gunk in the drains and stuff. And it's insane to me how people think they're just having a good time. They don't realize they're running a business, right?
They would have been better off putting the bar in their basement. It would have been a lot cheaper.
Right, yes.
Invite friends over.
Right. If you want to give away booze, do it at your house.
Yeah, saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is that the number one mistake that people make as they get into the bar business, because they think how fun it's going to be for their social lives to be a barkeep?
Yeah, I think so. Being, you know, the fact is people get into this. If you like drinking and you get into it, that's a big mistake. It's almost like saying, hey, man, I'm into drugs. I'm going to become a pharmacist.
Right.
I mean, it's just not the brightest move if that's your weakness. But bars are tough, Bean. You got to work hard, man. Sometimes 20-hour days. You got to keep your eyes on product quality, cleanliness, staff training. You can't do that drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
How many episodes have you done of Bar Rescue so far?
I just shot my 57th, believe it or not.
Wow.
Okay, and you go all over the country, and people apply to be on your show, so it's not a surprise when you show up, right?
No, it isn't, which just makes my arrival even more remarkable when you see what I do.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, is why – well, talk about what you see when you walk into most of these places that already know you might be coming.
Well, you know, for all my years in the business, being, I've always learned what makes people successful. After 57 bar rescues, I have learned what makes people unsuccessful. And I've learned it in the most deepest of ways. I've learned the smell of failure, the walk of failure, the words of failure. Because really, the people that are going on bar rescue, I mean, some of them are living in their parents' basement at 50-something years old. I mean, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Oh, my God.
These people are in trouble.
Yeah.
And when I walk through the door, you can see why. I mean, think about it. They had to make thousands of bad decisions to get me there that day. Not one, not two, at least hundreds of bad.
Right.
So they're not suddenly going to start making good ones, but here's the one that kills me. They think that there's about a 50-50 chance that I'm going to arrive. Typically, I either arrive a day or two early or a day or two later. Mm-hmm. So they're not sure I'm going to arrive. They're not sure I'm going to arrive when. But you'd think they would clean up before I walk through the door, just on a chance that I'm coming, because they know. But nope.
Business as usual.
I guess that's one of those bad decisions, Ralph, right?
Right, yeah.
Is it just laziness?
Sometimes, dare I say, they're just not the brightest bulb in the box, you know?
It seems to me denial a lot is a problem. Like, they deny that there's a problem. They refuse to believe it. And ego seems to get in the way a lot. It's like, this can't be happening to me because I'm so great.
You know? You nailed it. I would use the word excuses rather than denial.
Yeah.
The same exact thing. You know, they wake up in the morning, they blame it on you. Oh, the recession, the president, Congress, Greece. It's because of Greece. The euro did this to me. And they go crazy. The fact of the matter is, if they woke up in the morning and looked in the mirror and blame themselves rather than somebody else, they wouldn't like it, and they change. And as long as they can keep blaming somebody or something else, they just go through life failing, never taking the heat for it or owning the failure.
Right.
It's actually deep when you think about it.
It is.
And if I can just get them to own that failure, then typically I can change the way they behave somehow.
And once you break them down, it seems like they are quick to try to grasp for a lifeboat. I mean, once you make them realize that it's on them, and then you provide them with options, you say, look, we can make it better by doing X, Y, and Z. They do seem eventually to be willing to go along with it invariably.
They do. I'm proud of it. There's an independent website that tracks the results of Bar Rescue.
And, yeah, I was going to ask about
they,
that.
Yeah, and it's not my site, but what they do is they tell a quick synopsis of the episode. They give like before and after Yelp reviews, mm-hmm. and then they say whether it's open or not. And I believe they've tracked 47 or so that have aired. And according to them, 7 have closed out of 47.
That's impressive.
So we're tracking at about an 85% success ratio. And when you consider, Ralph, the hole that they're in,
mm-hmm.
right, the financial hole, the depth, the creditors knocking on their door and stuff, it's I'm proud of that. It's a pretty good number.
No, you should be. That's very impressive. And I don't want to, you know, far be it from the Kevin and Bean Show to ever have a lesson to take away. But what John said really is resonating with me because you're applying it to people that you meet on Bar Rescue. But, I mean, that's kind of the reality for all of our lives, isn't it? Is it's easy to sit around and complain about all the external circumstances that lead to where we are today. But ultimately, much of what we accomplish in our lives is a result of our own effort. And I think most people don't look at it that way.
I call it self-accountability being, you know, you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're accountable for your day, man. You choose what to do, how to do it, what to say on your show. That's why you've been successful, because you make the right choices.
But wow, we made the right choice today.
Well, you're accountable for what you do, man. You know, and some people, you know, pass that blame to somebody or something else. And it's sad, because they can never take control of their lives that way.
Yeah.
John Taffer is here. He is the host of Bar Rescue, executive producer. Also, the show airs on the Spike Channel. John is in town, by the way, today at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. We want to talk all about that and find out how you can get on down there and get some of this advice from John today only in Los Angeles. More about Bar Rescue when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. In studio with us right now is John Taffer, two-time winner of the Bar Operator of the Year Award and one of only 6 inductees into the Nightclub Hall of Fame. Is that something you made up, John? Is that a real thing?
No, it's actually a real thing. And I think I was indoctrinated the year after Hugh Hefner, by the way.
Wow.
Nice company.
Yes.
Let's talk about the rescue tour that you're doing now. You're coming to the Millennium Biltmore Hotel, and this is for owner-operators of nightclubs and bars to come and get some wisdom from you, get some advice, and pick up.
Yeah, and students come. People that want to get into the business sometimes come. Sometimes people that are just passionate about it come.
Right.
But we did it last year. We sold out in 5 cities. I was asked to do it again this year, so we're doing a limited tour because we're so busy shooting Bar Rescue.
Right.
And it's an opportunity. This is what I come from, Ralph. This is what I used to do, give speeches and seminars around the country for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps me connected. It's something I really enjoy doing. I almost sound like a comic. I like that live audience. But it really is important for me to be able, you know, to stay connected to operators and be out there, and that's how I do it.
Right.
Do you own any restaurants or bars anymore, John?
I sold them, Bean. I owned up to 17. At one point, and Bar Rescue is now, I've shot 40 episodes this year.
Oh my
40.
God.
So season, you don't have time to run your own place anymore.
I don't. You know, season 1 was 10 episodes, season 2 was 10 episodes, season 3 was 40 episodes. So, yeah, I've been on the road over 40 weeks being doing this.
That's amazing.
Yeah, now, you've got quite a history of running places, and we mentioned your success rate, but some famous places here locally, too, that people know of and have gone to and enjoy. You were talking about the Troubadour. I used to run that place.
Yeah, I was the manager at the Troubadour. It was one of my first gigs ever in the business and management. And Barney's Beanery, I worked at, too.
No kidding.
And I went from the Troubadour. And after a couple years in the Troubadour, the 3 bands a night started to get to me. So
yeah.
I made the big shift down the street. I was with the same people, but they were after the show. They'd all come down to Barney's. But, yeah, that's where I got my chops.
Legendary places. That's great.
John, I have a question for you, and this applies to the places that you've done on the show and also just restaurants in general. Would most people be horrified as to what goes on in restaurants in terms of what their food goes through or doesn't go through that before it reaches the plate on your table? Like, should I be afraid to eat in most restaurants?
Actually, no, Bean. You know, what you see on Bar Rescue is the worst of the worst. Because remember, I've asked them to drop me into total disasters. I'm going to tell you 9 out of 10, 95 out of 100 operators are responsible. They're clean, you know, they're professional. But, you know, there's a difference when you eat in a bar that food is a sideline versus eating in a restaurant where food is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just have to be selective where we eat. If the place is dirty, you know, it doesn't smell right, the tabletops are dirty, the menus are sticky, you might want to stick with bottled beer, you know?
Why do you suppose it is these people who know of you, they know of your background, your history, they've seen the show, they want you to come and help them, yet they still fight you so much on the advice that you come in to give them for free?
It's remarkable. We do about a 5-minute, we call it a casting reel. And the way people are casted to the show is they get in touch with us, we do background checks, all that. Then we send the producer, they do about a 5 or 6 minute video, and they'll spend about 30 seconds with each employee saying, hi, what's your name? What do you do here? And we'll just see what kind of personalities they have, because we don't want to obviously cast boring people on the show. Right. And typically the owner says, oh, when Taffer gets here, he's going to love me. He's going to be my best friend. Or they'll say, oh, I'm going to chew him up. I'm going to get him when he comes in. And it's remarkable to me, Bean, that I always expect the next one to be different. Oh, they're going to welcome me. They're going to embrace me. They're going to recognize my experience. They're going to realize I got a checkbook, man. I'm here to help you.
Right.
But no, the next one seems to be tougher and tougher and tougher. It's just human nature, I guess.
Angela writes in, listening to the Kevin and Bean show this morning. She's a huge fan of yours, John. She says, one of the episodes that disturbed me the most was when the owner chose to remain with a failing pirate theme rather than the successful idea that you set her up with. Please ask John about her. Do you remember that one?
I do. That was the most frustrating episode I've ever done. I've got to tell you, when it's frustrating for you guys to watch it, it's a nightmare for me to live it. So that's an example. These people wanted to be pirates. Making money meant nothing to them. They were pirates 24 hours a day. And when you'd say to them, why do you do this? Oh, Pirate Renaissance Fair. That's 2 weeks a year. Why are you doing this the other 50 weeks a year? And then when I put them in street clothes, they couldn't speak non-pirate.
Oh, my God.
They still spoke in 1860s, pirate, whatever the heck that is.
What?
But these people were pirates. It was bizarre. One of them, One-Eyed Mike, his name was One-Eyed Mike, lost his eye in a knife fight playing pirate.
Yeah, in a pretend knife fight.
I mean, he really lost his eye. I look back at it, that was something else, man. And what you see is what you get on Bar Rescue. Never is a word scripted. Never do we set stuff up. I would walk off if we did, and the network wouldn't want us to. What makes the show great is reality. That was real, man. These people were pirates. and that's all they wanted to be.
So, isn't that something?
If I would have built them a gold mine, if they couldn't dress as pirates to dig the gold, they would have said, nah, we're not interested. You know?
Do you have a lot of employees quit when they now have to do things right?
Sure. You know, more often than not, I tend to make the first move.
Really?
Yeah, because a bad employee is a cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to do well and you're surrounded by people that don't want to do well, it's as unfair to the other employees as it is to customers, as it is to business.
But you know what I always like on your show is that invariably you'll find somebody working at that venue who maybe isn't in charge, and you'll elevate them. You'll recognize the passion that they have for the product. You'll recognize the talent that maybe isn't being utilized. And I've seen you take, you know, bartenders and make them managers because you recognize that untapped potential in those people.
I do. I got to go in with an open mind, Ralph. That's the trick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't because of the way somebody looks or the first sentence they say to me. You know, last night was a good example. I got in a little physical altercation with the cook who turned into a great guy in the end did a really good job. And I got to have an open mind. I'm there to win. I'm there to turn the place around. It's not an ego trip for me. And sometimes there's an underdog. There's somebody there who's got this, you know, skill to bring to the table. And my job is to bring that out and inspire them and leave them with some leaders, somebody who's going to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
John Taffer in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in town for an appearance at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. It's a one-day workshop. You can get tickets, by the way, if you're interested. You have questions about this. The business looks good to you. You want to learn more about it and see what John's got to offer. You can go to ncbrescuetour.com. ncbrescuetour.com. That's going on today. Are there resources that you recommend to people before they open up a restaurant or a bar, like what the first thing they should do to get started, John? Because I'm sure, Ralph, I'd be willing to bet at some point in your life you've flirted with the idea of running a bar.
Oh, sure. I mean, I did it for 10 years.
It's very attractive for a lot of people. It's an attractive way to go, but it's obviously it's a lot of work. How do you tell people to get started, John?
Well, first of all, if you're somebody like Ralph who has a job and you're not going to go get a bartending job, even though you have, and you can't get the personal experience, then you got to get an education somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no bar management school, per se, to go to. So the nightclub and bar convention in Las Vegas has 70 educational classes. You can learn a lot there. There's a website, nightclub.com, that they operate website, which is free. And there's newsletters there you can get. There's pages and pages of promotions, content, educational materials there. If you're going in a restaurant business, the National Restaurant Association is also a great resource of educational materials and training videos and things like that. You can learn out there if you want to. It's like any other business. If you want to go on a radio, you listen to other radio shows.
Yeah, right.
Right? You read, you study, you learn how to do it. You got to do that in a bar business. It's a serious business. You got to have a plan. You got to know how to execute that plan or you're going to fail, Bean. So, yeah, there's, you know, the Nightclub and Bar Convention, nightclub.com, National Restaurant Association. And also sometimes there's local consultants that are available. I have Taffer TV that launches next month, which is five pieces of video content that we deliver to people, training, marketing tactics, things like that. And there's some good resources out there. What bothers me is when I meet bar operators and 9 out of 10 of them don't know about anything I just said.
Right, right.
So they're not even looking to see what's out there to help them. And
who would
fail.
Go into a business not knowing anything?
Remarkable.
It is.
Yeah, but that's the reality of it out there.
Crazy.
And when you think about it, there's a lot of businesses that way too, unfortunately. Sometimes entrepreneurial spirit, you're not an entrepreneur, you just wind up buying yourself a job where you make less money than you would have if you worked for someone else.
Oh, right.
Before we go here, John, I can't believe the time has flown by so quickly, but are there some chain restaurants that are out there? I'm not talking about the high-end fancy places that you eat. I'm talking about chain restaurants for guys like me that you think are doing a great job. I mean, Hooters, for instance, or Applebee's or someplace like that. Are any of those places worth a damn?
Well, you want me to speak honestly?
There's
one in the group that I think does a good job, and that's TGI Fridays, and here's why. Fridays invented contemporary mixology. They did. They created flair bartending in a contemporary sense. They have a greater, and an interesting disclosure, I do work with Fridays sometimes. They do have the best beverage menu, the best fresh ingredients, the best mixology training program in the industry, bar none. Their cocktails are just great.
How about that?
Their food is good, but as a bar guy, the best chain bar operation, hands down, is Fridays. Mixology training, depth of drink menu, flavors, fresh juices, ingredients. And if you haven't been in one lately, Bean, take a peek, even online. They got some great cocktails, some of the best in the industry.
Would you have expected that answer, Ralph?
No, I wouldn't have. I won't be caught dead on Fridays. Look, I'm a bar guy. I've worked in bars, and I like the bar atmosphere, and I like the mom and pop individually owned place with some personality that is unique to it. That's just my thing. That's the only reason I say so. And that also, John, it bothered me when I read a little research on you that you're a fan of flavored liquors. Like flavored vodkas and boozes and stuff like that. That just breaks my heart.
No, it's interesting.
You were my hero, but
you'd
now,
say fan of.
You're drinking like chocolate vodka or something. It just hurts my
you'd
heart.
You'd say hey, Fruit Loop vodka ain't bad, buddy. you'd say that you're a purist. I get that.
Yes.
So am I. I'm a Scotch drinker.
Okay. There
so
you
I'm
go.
As much of a purist as possible.
Right.
But I'm a marketing guy.
No, absolutely.
And
from your point,
no different than you guys saying, "Wow, I can do well with podcasts. Wow, I can do well with T-shirts.
Right.
You know, I can make money off flavored vodkas.
I absolutely get it. Yeah.
Personally, I'm going to go for a little scotch, if you know what I'm saying, Ralph.
But no, we don't need maple syrup in our whiskeys anymore.
I think we need maple syrup in everything.
Oh, Crown Royal maple is killer. It's a great product.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
And then
it's
really
good.
They put honey in my Jack Daniels and all. Oh,
Bushmills honey is a great product.
They're killing me, John.
Beer mug, talk to this guy, you know?
Well, it's a shame to see a beautiful friendship break up over maple syrup, but John Tafter has been our guest. He is the host and executive producer of Bar Rescue, which airs Sunday night at 10 on the Spike Channel. Yes, Ralph.
Real quick, I have to say, because I know some friends of mine are listening, and we just have to give John big thanks for what you did with Dimples. We wanted to thank you for what happened with Dimples.
Dimples!
Yes. I heard you guys used to go Dimples. There. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sal, what a guy.
Sal's a guy. He is a guy. And me and my friends, we used to go there quite a bit, and what you did for Dimples really just reinvigorated that entire operation, and we love it so much more now. So thanks for your hard work on Dimples.
Cool. It was a great place.
Yeah.
Millennium Biltmore Hotel today, one-day workshop with John Taffer. If you're interested in the industry, you can go to ncbrescuetour.com. John, you're always welcome back on the Kevin Amin Show. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Same here, Bien.
Travis Barker joins us in studio at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Amin Show. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network next hour. What's going on there, Ralph, with your creaky ship? What's happening there? Ralph? Hey, Ralph? You all right there, buddy?
Doing creaky ship voices, man.
Also, how about this? We crowned a new Miss Double December for 2014 on Friday's live show from Fullerton. We're going to catch up with the beautiful Brittany, find out how it went for her on Friday and how her weekend was, and just revel in the fact that she's new to the family. We're so excited to have her. That's all coming up after the top of the hour. First, third time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Good job, by the way, K-Rock voters. Over 11,000 votes were cast for Miss Double December this year.
Yeah.
And I think you you picked a good one. She's,
I do too.
She's charming and she's lovely and she's got those. Everything.
Right?
She's got it all going on. She's got it all going
on. She's taking a course right now on how to do traffic. So we got that. We'll have that for you in the new year.
Mm, I don't think she's doing that. I think she actually has a better life than that.
How about news? Could you do this?
Poor news.
Can she run the board?
Or showbiz speed or run the board? Anything, really.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, no surprise here, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. $73.7 million made it number one. Frozen, $22.2 million made it number two. Big drop off there to number two. Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas in its debut made $16 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Then The Hunger Games Catching Fire and Thor the Dark World. Out of the Furnace was number six. Delivery Man, Philomena, The Book Thief, and Homefront rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. The Breaking Bad finale meant a lot to a lot of people, especially Breaking Bad fans. But it has one surprising byproduct, has been the resurgence of a band that no longer exists anymore. Apparently using the song by the band Badfinger, Baby Blue, in the final episode has reinvigorated the band's career. Renewed interest in the band Badfinger. Here's a little taste of Baby Blue.
Special love.
I was always a big Badfinger fan. They had another hit called No Matter What that I was always a big fan of. And people were hearing that music in the Breaking Bad family. It's like, what? Who is that? What? I like that. What's going on? So Universal Music is releasing a Badfinger Hits collection in its Icon series. 16 tracks for just $7. They're going to milk that band. The guitarist, Joey Mullen, still tours as Joey Mullen's Badfinger and plays all those great classic songs from Badfinger, which were one of the first band signed to the Beatles' Apple label when they started their own record label. The Beatles.
Yeah, they had a lot of help from the Beatles. Paul McCartney, I think, wrote their Come and Get It song. And, yeah, they had a lot of ties to the Fab Four.
Yeah. So, good for those guys. Getting a little reflected glory from the Breaking Bad finale.
Their lead singer, Pete Ham, he committed suicide way back when, though, right?
Yeah, so there will probably be no reunion for that band. I'm just guessing.
Doesn't seem likely.
No. And congratulations to Jack White. His divorce from British model Karen Elson has been finalized. He's now a free man. Although, I don't know if I'd want to be free of that, man.
She's a good deal.
Karen's a good deal right there. He gets to keep all of his musical entities, including the White Stripes and the Dead Weather and the Raconteurs and the Skip Ropes and the Formicas and the Heavy Hail and all the other bands he's got going on, as well as Third Man Records and the recording studio that he owns there in Nashville. But he will have to pay significant support to Karen. He says he rakes in $62,000 a month.
Okay.
And has agreed to pay $3,200 a month in child support. She's apparently not happy about that, but he does get the kids for half the year where he's paying for them himself, so I can see why.
Yeah. I didn't even realize they had kids together
in
that short marriage.
Seen that? And while John Taffer was in here talking about the bar and nightclub convention that goes on in Vegas, it made me think of SantaCon, which this year, of course, was another big success. SantaCon is a convention where all mall Santas and people impersonated Santa Claus get together to talk the business.
This is a movie in the making.
SantaCon. You know, they have tips there, like how to put saran wrap around your lap so you don't catch things from dirty kids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was all going well, Lisa, apparently, until six drunk Santas got into a brawl on the sidewalk outside of the convention on Saturday. Cops had to be called and break the whole thing up. You can catch the whole thing on video on YouTube, by the way, if you want to check out. If you just type in SantaCon, you can see six drunk Santas.
Yay, holidays.
Punching each other. Yeah, it's...
Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Would you stop?
And he won't be round to spread his Christmas cheer.
Sad what happened to Santa there.
You're a creepy dude. Today's celebrity birthdays, writer, producer, TV legend Stephen Bochco is 70 years old. Man gave us Hill Street Blues. He gave us NYPD Blue. Pretty much any show with blue in it, he was responsible. Cop Rock, gave us Cop Rock. 70 years old today. Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top is 64 years old today. Benjamin Bratt turns 50. J.B. Smoove, the comedian, is 48. And actress Kristen Ritter is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, where all week long we're handing out pairs of passes to Grinchmas at Universal Studios Hollywood. You can get the details at K-Rock.com or just stick around. We'll give you a chance to win those this hour between now and 9 o'clock on The Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us in just a few minutes. Lisa, I'm thinking back to Friday morning.
Yes.
Down in Fullerton at the Slide Bar, our great friends at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen, who are such wonderful hosts for us every year for the Miss Double D pageant. How much fun was that morning?
Oh, we had an awesome time. Everybody was super friendly. They were just there to have fun. It was just a great morning.
And the girls were great, too. We had great contestants. I want to thank everybody who didn't win the Miss Double December pageant. We'll talk to the one who did here in just a minute. One of our very special favorite friends stopped by, the great Rudy Cisneros stopped by. You know, Rudy, longtime K-Rock listener, longtime fan of the Kevin and Bean Show and friend of the program. He stopped by and sang a little song about boobs that I enjoyed. If you missed it, I want you to hear a little piece of that.
I love the Gigi's, they are the best. Big skin balloons that are on your chest. Like beating a burrito, I'm gonna use both hands to massage those big old jiggly mammary glands. It's true, I see your Gigi's, I stop and stare. I get a funny feeling in my underwear. Your areolas and your cleavage too. The way you shake your chichis makes me love you.
Ah, how nice.
And late at night, your chichis are in my dreams. Mis sueños. I get you pregnant and they fill up with cream. La leche. I sing this song to you to make it clear that I worship those double D's inside your brassiere.
So that was a little bit of Rudy Cisneros doing his slow jam tribute to the boobies. Give me some of that theme song here. Ralph is, like you're Ralph, right? Beer Mug, as we welcome for the first time as Miss Double December 2014. We'll talk to our friend Brittany on the phone, see how it's going.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
She got big ass boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
I feel those boobs.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
Yay!
It's Brittany, bitch.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, good morning.
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're fine. Kevin's already gone on vacation, so you're just stuck with Ralph and me and Lisa and Beer Mug. But it's great to talk to you again. I wanted to, now that you've had a chance to come down off the high of being crowned on Friday morning, I wanted to find out what that day was like for you.
Oh, it was such an awesome day. It was, you know, an early start, but 6 o'clock, you guys said we can start drinking, so that kind of helped it out a little bit. We got some courage and went up on stage. All the girls were great. I had a great time.
Yeah, you did need to warm up a little bit. When we do those live shows in December, it's pretty chilly at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you guys are out there in bikinis. Like, is that really, really tough?
You know, it wasn't that tough for me. I was just so excited to be there. I was just enjoying the moment. Even after I got off stage, I was still walking around in my bikini and my tennis outfit, so I didn't care.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm always surprised every time we have the pageant where we hear from people talking about how all the other girls were so nice. I don't know why, but in my mind, it's always going to be like everybody's going to be giving death stares to the other girls because they want to win. They want to make sure you don't. But I get the impression it's not like that with the pageant.
No, it's not like that. Everyone was really helpful with each other backstage. Everyone was laughing. We were all talking. And, you know, maybe in their heads they were not thinking those things, but
right.
It's all good, you know?
That was a lot of boobs, wasn't it, Brittany?
Oh, it was great.
For folks who weren't with us on Friday, Brittany is our Miss Double December 2014. She had a very unusual talent, and I believe we have tape from the pageant of her doing her talent in front of the crowd.
Please, take my balls.
Let's see what Brittany's talent is going
to
be.
I am going to put this tennis ball in my mouth.
Well, I mean, I guess if you could put the canister in your mouth, then we'd have something.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Brittany putting a tennis ball in her mouth. Holy moly!
Turn around, turn around, turn around.
How does that fit?
The surprise in Ralph's voice, because he had no idea that you were basically going to be able to swallow the thing. I mean, that was shocking that you were able to do that, Brittany.
You know, that was something that no one ever knew about me except for my best friend. So even when my parents found out that I was going to do that, they're like, what? How do you even know how to do that? But they were really proud. I told them those private tennis lessons would pay off, and they
Yeah, I know your parents were a lot of things. I'm not sure proud was one of them as a result of Friday, but it was, I mean, the gasp that went through the crowd, Lisa, right? When she did it, we were so shocked.
It was stunning, I have to say. That's a talent.
All right, so after all the votes are counted and the top three finalists were Raina, who came in at number three, the delightful Tawny, who came in at number two, who was just so much fun, and then, of course, you ended up winning. And as is the tradition on the Kevin and Bean Show, last year's Miss Double December, 2013, our friend Lux transfers the power of the pageant to you, and I think we have tape of that as well.
And Lux, if you would, do us the honors of transferring the crown from yourself to Brittany. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, as she walks the runway, Miss Double December for 2014, Brittany.
Now, I never had the opportunity to make out with Lux the whole time she was Miss Double D. How is she as a kisser, Britt?
Oh, gosh. She was a great kisser. we might do this again sometime.
Well, we had such a great time being out there, and thanks to everybody who came down and brought the new unwrapped toy. We don't have an actual count of toys, but we filled a huge truck down there where the listeners came down, and those are all going to go to very needy people in Southern California. So thank you for everybody who came down in person. Thanks to the Slide Bar for being down there, and thanks to Brittany for entering. I'm so glad that you had a good time. Were you did you stick around for a while? I know you were still having lunch when I left for the airport. Did you hang out and meet fans all day long?
Yeah, I did. I was taking pictures with everyone, saying hi. Everyone was so great. All the toys that everyone brought, that was so awesome. I know it's going to make a lot of kids really happy this Christmas. So it was a fun day. I'm so happy that I was able to be a part of it, and I'm happy that I won.
Oh, we are too. You're going to be a great Miss Double December. I don't know, we'll see as often as we can, but, obviously Acoustic Christmas next year, and you're coming to the Weenie Roast with us and Kevin Bean Singles Party if we do any breakfast with. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for us to hang out. So you are the face, the pretty face of the Kevin and Bean Show. You got any plans for the holidays, Brittany? What are you doing?
Just being with family and friends, enjoying it, enjoying the moment.
Well, thanks so much for entering. We love you. We're so happy to have you in the family, and we can't wait to talk to you again in 2014, okay?
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Hi, Brittany.
A little sad, Lisa. This is the last appearance of Johnny Red Zone on the Kevin and Bean Show for the whole year of 2013. Andrew Siciliano joins us from NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone, as he does every Monday. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
We were just talking off the air about, could it get any crazier than it did yesterday? I know you've often said that the NFL is the greatest reality show on television, but yesterday you wouldn't even have believed it if you had tried to write it as a script.
You know what? Last week was the best week, hands down, in the 9 years we've done the show. This week was actually pretty damn close. it was basically, to quote friend of the program, Albert Breer, colleague at NFL Network, it was the week where every single AFC contender decided to barf on its shoes. And it started with the Broncos. The Broncos left the door open for the Patriots on Thursday. The Patriots screwed it up in Miami Sunday morning. And then the Bengals went out there last night, and they just got destroyed. People switched to Homeland, at the start of the second quarter. That's how bad the Bengals were last night.
And these are the games, when you're getting down the last two or three weeks of the season, these are the games you absolutely need to win, because obviously the playoff pictures are being, finalized. What happened to the Patriots? Now, I only saw the fourth quarter because I had my own game to watch. But what happened to the Patriots? Like, how did it end up even being so close with Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, Miami's a good team. Miami's fighting for a playoff spot. And they had the Patriots, when they played Week 8 in Boston, they had them up 17-3 at the half. They blew the game. So they've proven they could beat them. You want to talk about the greatest reality show? So there's this kid named Michael Thomas. He went to Stanford, played safety. He was on the 49ers practice squad for the last year and a half, meaning he gets $3,000 a week in season. He doesn't play. He doesn't travel. He practices. He's there on backup, right? He got a call from the Dolphins. Any other team can sign a player off the practice squad of another team if they actually put him on the field. Got a call Tuesday morning. Do you want to play for the Dolphins this week? He's from Stanford. I mean, he's been there his whole last year and a half. He said yes. He barely made his flight. He got there. He's only supposed to play on special teams, like make tackles on punts, which is what he did. So everyone gets hurt. And on the final drive, they tell him, you have to go on the field and play defense, except play corner, not safety. You know, you've never played corner.
Oh, my God.
Tom Brady picks on him the entire time, marching down the field. Like, wherever this kid is, I'm throwing at him. And they march down the field until the final play of the game, when this kid, who got there Tuesday night at midnight and didn't know the plays nor the names of his teammates, picks off Tom Brady, ends the game. Brady curses on the podium, leaves the podium after 70 seconds. Joe Philbin, the coach of the Dolphins, gets up there, didn't know the guy's name. He said, and I think a guy that got here Wednesday made that play. You want to talk about the craziest story ever?
What a week that young man had.
What a week that, and that's, to your point, the greatest reality show ever.
It or
the
really
Dallas
is.
Cowboys, who can't possibly humanly.
Well, before we get to the Cowboys, just one last note on the Patriots, and that is I would have bet any amount of money with that last 75 seconds or whatever it was that the Patriots had to score, and they
sure.
were so close. I would have bet any amount of money that they were going to be able to figure out a way to win that game, as Brady has won so many games in his career and this season in the final minute.
They do it every single week. There's a column in the Boston Globe last week. I mean, it was satire about what you were just saying about how the Patriots do it every week. That uh-huh. had the morning after the Super Bowl column, down 42-0, as expected. the Patriots rallied with 43 unanswered fourth quarter points to beat the Seahawks.
It was a crazy way to end that game yesterday. All right, you mentioned the Cowboys. Now, this is going to be the most of the talk on Around the League mm-hmm. Live today is all the Monday morning quarterback. Is it fair to blame Tony Romo for the Cowboys' loss yesterday?
Yes.
Did he make the obvious mistake by throwing
yes.
the ball in the air in the final 2 minutes?
Well, he was the last mistake that was made, but it is a total institutional failure why they lost that game. They didn't run the ball in the second half. They had a huge lead. They had a 23-point lead. They had a running back, DeMarco Murray, gaining 8 yards a carry. Do the math. Mm-hmm. I give it to number 29. He gets 8 yards. Do the math. They
right.
stop running the football. Now, on the play in question, which he got picked off by Tremont Williams, it was called a run. He checked to a pass. He has that ability as the quarterback. I go to the line. They're going to stop the run. I'm going to change the play, throw the ball. You can do that. You're allowed to do that. Just
but
don't
should
screw
you
it up.
Do that?
Don't screw it up.
Right.
Don't screw it up. And he screwed it up. Now, why was there's so many levels of screw up here, whether it's Bill Callahan calling the play, Jason Garrett, the head coach, hearing the play but not changing it, giving it to Tony Romo, then he changed it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the greatest soap opera in sports, period.
That was an unbelievable game for the Packers to come back 26-3 at the half, come back and win that game in the dramatic fashion that they did.
And now Aaron Rodgers could come back this week.
Right. So the Packers are a thing again. So Tony Romo, I mean, he's had this criticism leveled against him before. I mean, he's the guy who you always say you never want to have in these tight games in December, right? He's got a long history of these kinds of screw-ups, right?
He is Mr. November.
Right.
No,
exactly.
Seriously, statistically, he might be the greatest November quarterback in the history of the National Football League. In December, his record turns absolutely around. Now, blame the defense, too. They are on pace to be the worst defense in the history of organized football. That's not an exaggeration.
That's saying something.
So the Packers had the ball with their backup quarterback with a pop gun arm 5 times in the second half. They scored 5 touchdowns. That's hard
Unbelievable.
To do. The
Unbelievable.
Cowboys' defense is, they should play circus music behind it when it's on the field. Right, they should. So you could blame Tony Romo all you want, but there's no way that game should have ever come down to him making a decision, do I pass or do I run?
Yeah.
I mean, it's his fault. It's all that's going to get remembered. But that defense, so last week, that defense against the Bears on Monday night, the Bears didn't punt. You know how hard that is? The Bears went the entire game and didn't punt. And it was 4 degrees outside. Think about that. That's how bad the Cowboys defense is.
Tony Romo, one thing I read yesterday was, and this maybe is all that matters, is that he's been with the Cowboys for, what, 8 years now,
Something
Andrew?
Like that, yeah.
And he's won one playoff game.
One, and he fumbled one away as well. I mean, you know, the Seattle game where he had the, I mean, all he had to do was put the damn ball down and put the kick up, but he couldn't do that.
So much more from a crazy, crazy week yesterday in the NFL. We'll talk to with our friend Andrew Siciliano. He is the host of Around the League Live, which airs this afternoon at 3, and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone for how many more weeks do you have of that?
We got two more. That's it. Then I can sit on the couch or go skiing or something like that or drink beer. Or maybe, you know, all three at the same time.
All three at the same time. We'll take a break. More with Andrew in a moment here on K-Rock. Hey, Travis Barker from Transplants and Blink 182 and all your favorite rap records joins us in studio in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network is here. Andrew and I just reflecting about yesterday and what a day it was. What about the New York Giants? That's a sad, sad team and a sad, sad crowd, isn't it? Didn't it look like on TV to you, Andrew, that there might have been as many Seahawks fans as there were Giants fans in the stadium?
By the end of the game, yeah. The Giants fans show up at the beginning of the game, but when Eli throws the ball to the other team more than he throws it to his own team, then there's an issue. Eli Manning has 25 picks. There was actually one that was dropped. It could have been 26. That is by far the worst in the National Football League. And this guy has two rings. He's got two trophies. Right. I love the guy, but we've gone all season people saying it's everyone else's fault. It's the line's fault. It's the wide receivers running the wrong direction. A lot of it's his fault, and it's hard to look otherwise.
What's it like for a team that's already eliminated for the playoffs? You come out, you're at home, you're still playing for pride, right? I mean, is it hard to dig deep and even show up well in those games because they don't really mean anything?
Well, you guys tell me. You guys are how many days away from vacation?
Hey, we're giving 110%
you guys
right now, Andrew.
110%. That's not Red Bull on the counter over there, is it? I do not see Red Bull on the counter. You guys are giving it. Look, look at the Browns yesterday. The Browns are out of it. I mean, technically, they weren't to start the day, but you had a better chance of winning Mega Millions than the Browns making the playoffs. The Browns showed up, and they had, once again, a fourth-quarter lead against the Bears, and that's their M.O. They lead the whole game and then blow it. The Houston Texans, however, who statistically have one of the better defenses in the NFL, went on the road and laid down and died.
Yeah. Well, they've been eliminated from next year's playoffs already, haven't they?
They're going to pick first. And the Giants, to your point, at home, laid down and died to the Seahawks.
So, in other words, I shouldn't be that impressed with the Seattle 23-0 win because, as far as you're concerned, the Giants weren't trying.
No, the Seahawks are the best team in football, though. You know that. I mean, hands down, the best team in football.
I wish there weren't so much talk about this is just a dress rehearsal for when they'll be back here in February because I don't like talking about the Super Bowl right now. There's
Russell
a lot
Wilson.
Of games. There's a lot of games that have to happen between now and then before that happens.
And you know? I don't mean blame Russell Wilson, like rip him, but did you hear he was mic'd up in the huddle before the game? Like when he's doing his pregame, let's go out there and kick their butt speech. He said we're coming back here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, I
did. It worked.
They
shut him out. And some car dealerships got to give people money in Seattle now because of it, right?
This is a crazy story. It's going to be interesting. Now, you have to – I assume you have insurance when you offer promotion like this. The dealership wouldn't pay for it, but this is a Chevrolet dealership in Federal Way, which is a Seattle suburb. They did a contest where you could sign up. They did it among people who bought new cars, but you also – so it's not a lottery. You also have to allow people to walk in off the street and enter too. You know those rules, right? 12 people, they say, are going to – or this is what they said before the game. We're going to win $35,000 each if the Seahawks shut out the Giants Sunday. Now, the Giants hadn't been shut out in how long?
I don't know.
Since 1995.
Really?
They hadn't been shut out at home.
I didn't realize that.
In 1995, 149 consecutive games they'd gone without being held scoreless, by the way. So, of course, that happened. So it's going to be interesting to see if this pulls through and people actually win that money. The dealership guy is a huge fan of the Seahawks. He said he was happy, but he certainly didn't expect it to happen. He didn't think it was going to happen when he made the offer, that's for sure.
Well, did you see the watch? Eli Manning does ads for Citizen watches, and he's done them forever. But they evidently had a big ad buy yesterday. And even during the Sunday night game, after Eli threw five picks, they're running ads for Citizen with a picture of Eli throwing the football. You know, Citizen, Eli Manning, precise. Not really.
Maybe they need a backup ad. They could switch right at the last minute.
Yeah, throw something
let's talk about a couple more games with you, Andrew, and before we let you go and get on to your NFL duties today, what about Jamaal Charles? Why is he a name we should all know today?
All right. You guys don't play fantasy, right? Mm-mm. Lisa May, did you start fantasy this year?
I did not.
Okay. We tried. So yesterday was the fantasy finals or the semifinals for most people. Jamal Charles scored 5 touchdowns, and there were still 18 minutes remaining in the game. Still 3 minutes left. I'm sorry. Yeah, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and they benched him because the game was over with the Raiders. He could have scored 6, which is the record. It hadn't been done since Gale Sayre scored 6 in 65 at Wrigley Field. I mean, think about it. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
He scored him at Wrigley Field in 65 against the 49ers. So he single-handedly pretty much won fantasy playoff games for everybody. He also won a reality football game for the Kansas City Chiefs single-handedly with 5 touchdowns.
Isn't that unbelievable? And nobody, I mean, there's no quarterback or receiver that goes into a game with that as the intention. It's just the way it plays out on the field, right?
Yeah, he scored 4, I think. Like, he scored 3 in the first quarter. It got, and Andy Reid took him out. The game's over. We're not going to risk our best player out there anymore.
Right.
So they put in the backup, and then he stood there on the sideline, 1 away from the record. It's still a full quarter of football to go.
Unbelievable. 49ers looked great yesterday over Tampa Bay. Colin Kaepernick continues to terrify me. How about the Vikings-Eagles game? That was one of the big surprises of the weekend.
Ralph's not in here, right? He's not here? Wow, the Eagles blew it. Man, they blew it. The Cowboys left the door open for them on Monday when they lost to the Bears. The Eagles, you go on the road against a team eliminated from the playoffs, starting another backup quarterback without Adrian Peterson.
Without Adrian Peterson,
without
right.
Toby Gerhardt, his backup, who's pretty damn good, and with a guy off the street named Matt Asiata that no one had ever heard of, and he scored 3 touchdowns, and Matt Castle threw for nearly 400 yards, and the Eagles blew it. They blew it like the Cowboys blew it, but in less spectacular fashion. But it's still, I mean, that's the crazy thing about the Cowboys and the Eagles right now, is that because they play each other week 17 in 2 weeks, that if either of them wins out, they still win the division. The old, you control your destiny because you play each other,
right.
Still both applies for both.
Kevin is not here. He's already gone for the break, but his Arizona Cardinals won, and they've had a great year, yet they may not make the playoffs.
They tried really hard to lose that game. They gave up 10 points in the final 54 seconds and then had to win in overtime. They
right.
tried really, really hard, but they're in it. Although they go to Seattle, right, don't they?
That's right, this
they
weekend,
go to
yes.
Seattle this week, which they'll lose, and then they get the Niners at home week 17 to end it. So
that's not a great
look,
way to go
if they
out.
Make it, they deserve, well, you always deserve it, but especially these last 2 weeks. I don't think they're good enough to make it.
Before we say goodbye, Ravens and Lions. That's another game in a division that nobody seems to want it.
This game is huge because the Ravens now, because the Bengals lost, actually have a path to win the division when it looked like 3 weeks ago they're out of it. And the Lions have the Bears and the Packers on their butts now. So if the Lions find a way to screw this up, and they are the Detroit Lions, if they find a way to screw this up, that means the Bears can still win the division. Bears and Packers play week 17. And that means Aaron Rodgers is coming back next week, people. And he is
very
coming
exciting.
Back with a score to settle. And he will chop your head off and then hold it up in the air.
This is awfully juicy.
Yeah.
Awfully juicy.
I don't know what that means.
Around the League live this afternoon at 3 on the NFL Network. And then, of course, DirecTV Red Zone for just 2 more Sundays. And then what are we going to do? What are we going to do when our precious NFL goes away, Andrew? How will we live?
I mean, you get playoffs starting the weekend of the 4th.
That's
right?
Nice.
Yeah,
that's nice. But okay. I'm just saying, the end is in sight, and it's going to be a very sad day when we have no football. That's for sure.
It's close.
Thank you so much for all the time you spent driving into K-Rock every Monday morning.
It's on the way to work, guys.
We appreciate it.
Very much appreciate it. It's always great to see you. Have fun today, and we'll do it again next year, all right?
Merry New Year, everybody.
And congratulations to Hector Ramirez from Lancaster. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won tickets to Grinchmas at Universal Studios Hollywood. Got them for you all week long, including coming up with Cat Corbett just after 10 this morning. Details at KROQ.com. Travis Barker joins us next in studio. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Are you popping bubble wrap in your house? What's going on with those noises? What's happening with you?
I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, something's going on.
Are you guys hearing something?
Yeah, something was going on coming out of that song.
I moved the microphone a little bit.
Slapping your ass. Are you slapping your ass?
Can you hear me? I'm moving the microphone because I wanted to lean over and read the screen there. But
you got a riding crop you're slapping your ass with while we're not looking? Is that what's going on?
Nothing like that going on, no.
Creepy beam? There were a lot of boobs there, weren't there, Brittany?
Was I right or was I right?
Yeah, but still. You can be right and creepy. You can be
Brittany's
both.
Delightful, by the way.
She is charming and really sounds is. Delicious on the radio, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with her.
Looking forward. We got to start inventing reasons to have her come down.
I agree. Like running the board.
We can teach her on the board, can we? Hey.
Sure.
Look, if Beer Mug can do it, anybody can do it.
Dare you.
It is Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office here at the Showbiz Beat. Today's no different. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug came in at $73.7 million, making it number one by far. The next highest grossing picture this weekend was Frozen with just $22.2 million. Oh,
I'll get it.
I got to get up.
I get it.
Oh, is it morning already? Somebody turned off my alarm clock. Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas, $16 million in its debut. The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Thor, Dark World round out the top five. Then Out of the Furnace, Delivery Man, Philomena, The Book Thief, and Homefront, top 10.
That's the wrong number. Looking for a young lady named Heidi, by the way. She's not here, is she?
No, she does the Jack announcements now, doesn't she?
Okay.
Doesn't That's she right.
I'll give him that number.
Jack events or whatever. Jack on, Jack off, the Jacker.
I think it is Jacktivities.
What was it? Jacktivities, that's it. Yeah, she does Jacktivities now. Death this weekend. Everybody in show business died. Just a lot of death. Starting with Joan Fontaine, legendary actress, 96 years old today. Most of you probably won't be familiar with her work because she did the majority of her films in the 40s and 50s. But classic films like Rebecca and Suspicion. She was Oscar-nominated for Rebecca, won for Suspicion. Her little sister was Livia de Havilland from Gone with the Wind. Big deal. It was Joan Fontaine at one point, passed away this week at the age of 96 years old. Big full life. Speaking of full lives, couldn't get much more full than Peter O'Toole.
Mm-mm.
Boy, did he know how to live. He had a good time while he was here. Passed away this week at the age of 81, probably best still... known for his work as Lawrence of Arabia in the film of the same name, but also turned in brilliant performances in movies like Beckett and Goodbye, Mr. Chips. The Stuntman, one of my favorite films that's so underrated and underseen. Do yourself a favor, rent that sometime with Steve Railsback. Great film, The Lion and A Lion in Winter, My Favorite Year, another terrific performance. But as well known for his drinking as he was his acting was Peter O'Toole. And what more can an Irish actor hope to be?
And by the way, he worked up until a few years ago. He was still getting Oscar nominated, you know, fairly recently. But I just remember whenever he would be on, you know, Letterman or Leno or one of those shows, he always killed. He was just one of those guys that came out and always had the best stories and told them so funny.
Well, when you live a life as large as his, you do have a lot of stories. He was the Pope in The Tudors was the last time I saw him, I think. Remember when they show up and he was the elderly Pope?
That's right.
But I always remember a friend of mine was bartending at a post-Oscar party in 2003 when he won his honorary Oscar. He was nominated 8 times for Best Actor, never won. And in 2003, they brought him out and gave him an honorary Oscar. And he was bartending, and he saw Peter O'Toole toddle up to his bar. And he said, "This is going to be the greatest moment ever in my bartending history. I'm going to get to serve Peter O'Toole." And Peter O'Toole came and said, "Yes, I'd like a glass of water, please." And my friend disappointedly gave him a glass of water. And he said, I'm surprised, Mr. O'Toole, frankly. I expect you to order something else. And he said, "Yes, I will in a moment, but occasionally I need a bit of a wash." And then he proceeded to drink booze all night long.
Yeah.
So good times. And then Billy Jack star Tom Laughlin passed away as well this weekend. He was the writer, director, and star of a classic 1971 film called Billy Jack, about a half Native American, Green Beret, Vietnam vet, and martial arts expert who comes back to his small town and finds the Native Americans there are being bullied and abused by the white man. And so he starts to kick some white ass.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy Jack. He had that Smokey the Bear hat and a feather in it. And you're like, "You put flour all over this beautiful creature's face. Now I have to..."
"Go ahead and hate your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven. You can justify it in the end."
It's not my fault.
Really working.
We gotta get a better copy of that
song. It's not my fault.
That's the theme from Billy Jack right there, yeah, with the skip. Put a penny on your needle.
I just, it's whoever put it up on YouTube, it has a scratch on it. I'm sorry.
How do you not have the original HD high def version somewhere logged away in your huge music catalog?
I needed it in a hurry this morning, so I just grabbed it off of YouTube. I think let's hear that part again. Hold on.
Good version. I like that.
There are kids listening right now who have no idea why a song would ever skip.
It's that warm sound of vinyl.
It's just a buffering problem, kids. That's all. It's just buffering.
Today's celebrity birthday, Stephen Bochco, one of the true geniuses of television. 70 years old today. Guys had a, if you look at his IMDb page, look at the many amazing projects he's been involved with over the years.
Is he retired now, Ralph?
No, he's still working. I think he's developing a new show as we speak. I worked with him on NYPD Blue for a short period of time, and I was always impressed about how nice he was to even folks at my level, which was not very high. But he would always make a point of being good to the cast and crew, and I was always appreciated that. 70 years old.
When the Officer Gruden spinoff gets going.
Yes, man. When Gruden! Exclamation point finally hits NBC. We'll all be watching. Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, he's the one with the beard, 64 years old today. Actor Benjamin Bratt is 50. J.B. Smoove, the comedian, and of course, star of Curb Your Enthusiasm, 48 years old. Paul Van Dyke, the DJ, is 42. And actress Kristen Ritter celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Travis Barker, is that you playing drums on that song, too?
I wish.
I just assume whatever song's on the radio, you probably are on.
That would be nice. I mean, I love playing on as much music as I can, especially music that I like or I really am a fan of, you know?
Has it ever happened to you even one time where you've had Power 106 or something on and a rap record came on and you thought, oh, am I on that? Is that me? Have the sessions ever run together to the point where you don't remember what you've played on or not?
Yes, sometimes. Like, I'll be in the car and my son or daughter will be like, hey, Dad, that's your drums. Like, you played on that song. I was like, no, I didn't. And then I'm like, well, maybe I did. So, yeah, that's always a good day.
Well, Travis Barker, it's so great to see you. Happy holidays to you, my friend. Thanks so much for stopping by, Carrick. You got a lot of stuff going on right now that we want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I want to start with why you're giving away your car, because this looks like a pretty sweet ride. This your actual Cadillac you're giving away, right?
Yeah, it's my 65 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, and I was basically in the middle of building it. And we were in this marketing meeting at Famous Stars and Straps, and we were like, what are we going to do for our giveaway this year? And, you know, Tilly's has been a longtime partner of ours. You know, they've been really awesome and supportive of the brand. And I was like, why don't we give away one of my cars, you know? Something that truly bleeds, you know, what I'm about and what Famous is about. So, you know, we gave, in a way, a piece of me away with this car, especially how much I love my cars. So yeah, it's a custom Cadillac 65 Coupe de Ville.
How long you had it?
I've had that car, well, you know, like, I'll buy them and they kind of go through a stage where they just sit and I decide what I'm going to do with them, because, you know, a lot goes into it. You got to pick, like, what color paint you're going to do. You got to pick what color interior, what rim and tire setup you're going to put on it. So I probably had it for about 2.5-3 years before I decided what I was going to do with it.
And is it a driving around car, one that you actually have spent time on the road with?
Oh yeah, I mean, none of my cars are just like
showpieces,
cosmetic beauties where they look good and they don't drive good. Like, most important thing, you know, first thing first is it has to drive good, you know. So yeah, it has a 472 big block, like the stock engine that comes with that car. You could drive it anywhere. It has a copper penny, custom candy paint. Has Vogues and Supremes tire setup. Cream color, custom interior, dual glass packs.
Wow.
It's awesome. All stereo and audio done by Pioneer. It's a really, really, really dope car. Whoever gets it's going to be stoked.
Do you do any of the work yourself? Are you a hands-on guy?
You know, this one happened while I was on tour. So, like, nothing happens without me, like, picking it. You know, I was on – where was I at? I was on the U.S. tour, the last Blink U.S. tour when it happened, or Transplants tour. But, I mean, I handpicked everything, you know. Like, I sit for months deciding what color it's going to be or who's going to do the work. And the majority of my Cadillac work gets done by a shop called Hillview Customs, which is my friend Dalt I grew up with.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, he built this one. But, you know, from time to time I'll wrench on him. But at the end of the day, man, I'm a better drummer than I am mechanic.
You know? Isn't it tough, though? I know how people fall in love with their cars, especially when they're, you know, vintage cars like this that you spend so much time customizing to get exactly to your personal specifications. Isn't it just so hard to give one up?
Yeah, there was a point when it was coming back. It had been painted. It had all the trim put back on it. Interior was getting finished, and I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't give it away. I started thinking twice, but you know, that's what makes it even that much more cooler is that it truly is an amazing car, you know, rather than, you know, people will give away, you know, concert tickets or loads of cash, whatever, for a giveaway. Like, this is truly a part of what we're about, you know?
And, yeah, no kidding.
And like, wow. I said, one of my babies.
How do people win it?
You can register to win it at famoussas.com or tillys.com. And, you know, the last day to enter is the 24th, Christmas Eve. And then shortly after Christmas, the beginning of the new year, we'll be picking a winner.
Did you grow up in a car culture?
I did. You know, I grew up always seeing my dad, you know, talk about, you know, the Bel Airs he had when he was a kid or the Cadillacs he wished he had. And you know, the thing I remember most is a broken down Cadillac in our backyard we never had money to fix. So for me, you know, with my first money I ever got from playing music, I went and bought like a Cadillac for $600 that had cancer spots, it had holes in it. Long story short, it blew up on the freeway. Caught fire one day. But I didn't care. I loved the car so much. You know, everyone used to laugh at me like, yo, it's primer, Trav. It's not going to buff out. It's not going to shine. And I just didn't care. I had so much pride in having, you know, a Cadillac, these cars that I, you know, grew up hearing my dad, you know, talk about. My dad was a greaser. You know, that's all he did is loved old cars and motorcycles. So that was embedded in me. And then seeing him not be able to fix them up, you know, while I was growing up because he didn't have the cash to. Really made me even want them more, and it's something I still share with my pops. You know, we sit around and we look at old cars for hours on eBay or Craigslist or Hemmings. Like, we're both, you know, car heads.
That's nice. Yeah. And that car must have been so special to you, you know, like you said, because you bought it with your first real money.
Yeah.
Know, it was like kind of made it all worthwhile. Like, I made it now that I've been able to buy this car, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a lot of cars now?
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite to drive? Aside from the 65 Coupe de Ville,
I just got a 41 Cadillac. That's my new favorite. You know, it's beautiful. It's all original. I'm gonna keep it all original. You know, like, you know, some depending on the shape, you know, they come in when you first get them. You decide whether you're gonna keep them original or you're gonna do like a mild custom. And this 41 is just like, it's mint. Like, there's nothing to be done, and I would do it a disservice if I started wrenching on it or customize anything on it. So, yeah, it's just one that I keep really stock, and it's a cool one to drive around with the kids.
So that's AM radio only in that car, right?
Yeah, there's
so you can't listen to any of your music when you're driving that one.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, with the old cars too. I mean, some of them have systems in it, but for the most part, you just want to listen to the car. You just want to cruise. Like, you don't even, when you're in an old car, you're not like, you're not worried about like, oh man, it's hot, or oh man, it's cold in here. Let me turn on navigation, or let me do this. You're just vibing out with the car. You're just enjoying driving it. So yeah, I don't even think much about it.
That's awesome. I love how much you love that too. I mean, I know how passionate you are about music. This is the first time I've seen this side of you where you're just as passionate about old cars too. It's cool.
Yeah, cars, my kids, drums, and that's pretty much it, man. That's what I love. And tattoos, of course.
Yeah. What else do you need, right?
Yeah. Nothing.
Travis Barker's here. We got lots of ground we got to cover. A big 2014 ahead for Blink-182, and believe it or not, Travis has played on a few new records. You're not gonna be surprised by that. We'll talk about that and so much more with our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, look, it's that guy from that band, Travis Barker, with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can win Travis's actual Cadillac, his 65 Coupe de Ville, built by Hillview Customs. That is available. What are you doing, a grand prize drawing or something? It's just everybody who enters? You're just literally just going to pull a name out of a hat or something, Travis?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we break it down to like, I think like 10 names. And then,
okay.
Yeah, pick the winner.
Go to Tillys.com or the Famous Stars and Stripes website to enter. You've been busy. The last time we had Jim was just a couple of months ago promoting the Hollywood Palladium show and the Wiltern shows. You did the 10th anniversary night with the self-titled album. How did those go playing back home, Travis?
Those are awesome, man. Thank you to all the fans that came out from everywhere to witness those shows. That was really fun. You know, we never played that album in its entirety, so it never got old. And we always had, you know, we had special guests every day. We had Machine Gun Kelly, you know, come out, and he sang Damn It with us one night. One night, our friend L Cool J came out, and he wanted to play Mama Said Knock You Out. It was crazy. It was just like, it was loaded with surprises every night, you know. It was really fun, and like I said, playing that album in its entirety was really cool and different.
What's going on with Blink right now?
You know, we haven't gotten in the studio yet, man. I've just been working on other stuff. I just did a track with Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit and Danny Lawner, who used to play Nine Inch Nails, with this artist named Scroobius Pip from London.
That's quite a name.
He's really awesome. You guys gotta check it out. We did a song together a couple years ago called Introdiction. Not Introduction, but Introdiction. And he's really cool, and he has an amazing buzz out where he lives right now.
I think we have a little piece of your song with Paul Wall called Cuz I'm Famous. Listen up. Here's Travis Barker playing the drums. Where you going? Who you came with? What's your name is? I know you jacket cuz I'm famous. Cuz I'm famous. Keep the chrome on my waist, bitch. Ain't gon' say shit. I went out in my spaceship. Man, I'm wasted. They done let that killer out the cage. Give me the keys, Forrest. Catfish Billy got a pump shotgun. Chairs for that Norris truck. Cowboy boot kick to the floor because... How do people get you on their records, Travis? Do they just put an ad in the paper like the A-Team and you have to see it and call them? How does it work?
Nah, usually it's word of mouth. You know, like someone will reach out, you know, through my management. Like, you know, I just did like that Cruella record a couple months ago and that album's now, but, you know, out now. But yeah, you know, my manager just hit me and I was a fan of what they did. With this record with Paul Wall and Hobson and Yellow Wolf, it was kind of like, you know, a warm-up to starting my next solo album or this EP that I'm going to do with this kid named Hobson. So this track just kind of came out in between Transplants and Blink Tours. I was in the studio, and, you know, with everyone coming through the studio, this track just kind of came about, and we released it at the end of this year just for fun, you know, just to, you know, release some new music.
You just get itchy if you're not in a studio every week, right?
I get bored so quick, man, so quick.
It sounds
every,
like
every
it.
Day, you know, like, you know, like my buddies will come to the studio and be like, hey, man, what's Travis practicing for? Nothing. He's just in there practicing. Or what is he writing for? He's just writing. You know, I like being in the studio, man. It's like therapy for me. I feel weird if I'm not in there playing my drums or being creative at all times. I feel like I'm cheating myself, you know?
Do you like being in the studio as much as, more than, or less than being on stage?
Both are completely different, you know. When I'm on tour, you know, for a couple of months, by the time, you know, 3 months come around, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get back in the studio. When I'm in the studio, I'm like, you know, get like stir crazy, and gosh, I can't wait to play some of these songs live. You know, it's you know, they both have their ups and downsides.
Sure. It has been announced that you guys are going to be headlining the Reading Festival and the Leeds Festival in 2014, which are both huge European festivals. So does that mean you're going to want to have a new album out before you go out to do all that?
I'm hoping so. You know, the plan is that Blink gets in the studio at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, we're going over there playing Reading and Leeds. I'm jumping on the Queen Mary 2 for 7.5 days.
That's how long it takes to get across now?
Yeah, it takes about 7.5 days. So, yeah, I take that, you know, there and back. It's pretty awesome, though, man. It's like a lot of, I mean, I got 7 days to kind of like, you know, play my drums, work out, kind of get ready, prepare myself. Whereas, you know, you get on a plane, you're like, jump off, you're in Europe, and it's time to go, you know.
Right.
So I kind of like the Queen Mary, too, for that reason.
I have never been on one of those giant cruise ships, but it's like a city, right? I mean, it's like there's almost nothing you could think of that they don't have on a boat that big, right?
Yeah, it's a trip.
And they got mall, and they got a movie theater. They got, you know, obviously all the swimming pools and everything like that that you'd want.
Yeah, there's like shows every night. It's a trip, you know. Like there's, you know, when you cross the Titanic burial site, they announce it and they play crazy music.
Wow.
It's like, it's a trip, man. But and everyone's 80. You know, everyone's at least 80.
Yeah.
That's the age, like average age group. So we're really young up on that boat, and you know, there's a corner, like there's like a corner on the boat, you know, because some old people will just pass during, you know, the transatlantic crossing. So,
wait, you're saying a certain amount of the customers are going to die on the trip back and forth?
So they keep a corner
there. It is a possibility. Yeah. Yeah.
I was wondering how a super famous person like you could be on a little fishbowl like being on this boat, but you've just answered the question because everyone's 80 and they have no idea who you are.
Everyone just looks at me going, how the hell did he get on the boat?
Yes.
That's kind of the look I get. That's the, you know, that's the most popular look I get on the boat. It's pretty cool.
Because they must feel like you don't belong, right?
Oh,
like one of these is not like the other.
Absolutely. The only thing that saves me is usually, you know, I'll have my kids with me. If I don't travel with my kids on the boat, they're like, oh, for sure he snuck on here. You know? So it's funny.
This is the voice of Travis Barker here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I wanted to ask you about one other thing. You are also a restaurateur, right, Travis?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a proud partner owner of Crossroads on Melrose and Sweetser.
Had any special guests stop by lately, like a lot?
Yeah, you know, we've been fortunate to, I mean, Tal Ronan is a genius. He's an amazing chef, so is Chef Scott. We've had everyone from Oprah to Ellen to Katy Perry to Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, everyone who's trying to you know, eat a plant-based diet, you know, they're cheating themselves if they haven't gone by Crossroads, because it's
But in
awesome.
Particular, though, Jay-Z right now is going through this thing. Now, did Beyonce talk him into trying to go vegan for a month? Is that what those headlines are all about?
I don't know. You know, I don't know who's responsible, but I think, I mean, more and more and more people I see are trying out, you know, testing the vegan diet. And it is. I mean, it's amazing. You feel great. You feel light. You still have energy. Like, all the myths about not getting a bunch of protein, as much protein as you need, are all so far-fetched. You know what I mean? Like, you get hella protein from vegetables and eating right, too. So more and more people are stopping by and checking it out. People I'd never think were vegan, you know?
What did Jay-Z have that he was surprised was so good?
You know, I didn't creep out and ask any of those questions. But I know he came back. You know, he was there 4 times in 1 week.
Wow!
So, yeah,
that's saying something.
Yeah, something worked out well there.
How long you been vegan?
You know, I've been vegan. I was vegetarian for like 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. During my plane crash, I ate hospital food for 4 months, so I had to eat bacon. I had to eat meat, and when I got out of there, I was like, I'm actually going to go even crazier than being vegetarian. I'm going to actually try being vegan.
I haven't been able to make that, you know, I got into it from, as a lot of people do, from the perspective of, I just love animals and don't want to see them killed. Like, just, I had cows, I had pigs, I had sheep, I had all them as pets. I could never eat them. So I haven't eaten any of those for over 20 years, but I haven't been able to pull the plug and be vegan yet and not have milk and cheese and things like that. You didn't find it hard to give that stuff up?
No, nah, I mean, that was the last things I had to give up, was milk and cheese and dairy. And we're so spoiled in L.A. with vegan restaurants. There's so much good, you know, so many good vegan options. I mean, for the most part, I'm half vegan, half raw. Like, the only time I eat just vegan is when I'm at Crossroads. But other than that, I'm actually, you know, I try to eat raw a lot, too. So,
and doctors say there's nothing that you're not getting that you're supposed to get from eating the other stuff.
Nah, man. I mean, I'm getting...
You take supplements at all?
Like B12, B complex, but I mean, for the most part, all those greens, all the plants, man, they're all antioxidants. They all fight cancer. They're all good for you. You know, you get loads of protein from vegetables like broccoli. So, you know, and like I'm telling you, man, like, I was at dinner the other night. My kids, you know, begged me, let's go to Nobu. And we're at Nobu, and the people next to me are asking if I was vegan because I was eating tofu. And I said, yeah, I am. She's like, you got to go try this restaurant called Crossroads. That's when it came full circle. And then she confessed to me, my husband eats there. You know, he's eaten there 3 times. He has no idea he's eating vegan.
Wow.
So that was like, that's like the full circle where it hits you and goes like, the restaurant, like, there, it doesn't say vegan anywhere on the restaurant. You'll eat there and it'll be an afterthought.
It'll just be good. Vegan. Right, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, he's, you know, Tal Ronan is awesome. He's such a, you know, great chef.
You, I mean, I look at you and I see the kind of shape you're in and the, you know, the punishing schedule that you have with all of your various tours and recording and everything. And no one works harder on stage than Travis Barker does. So whatever it is you're eating is providing you with whatever energy you need. I mean, it's definitely working for you.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, like I said, man, I never feel weak. I never feel, you know, malnourished or something. I never, you know, it's on point, man. I suggest everyone try it. Even if it's not Crossroads, just once a week, you know, go try something.
Who's on your, as we prepare to say goodbye here, Travis, I can't believe how fast it's gone by. Who's on your wish list that you haven't played with yet that you're hoping will give you a call? Like Jay-Z, for instance. Have you ever played with him?
Yeah, you know what? That'd be something cool for my next solo album. I'd love to do something with Jay. I have a lot of respect for his hustle and all that he's accomplished and just being an all-around, you know, good, solid dude.
Are there any rock bands you want to play with? Like, you know, would you love to play with Foo Fighters or somebody like that?
I want to start a side band with Kerry King from Slayer. he's like a you know, someone I've always looked up to. I've always loved Slayer. But no, I mean, you know, every day I find myself being able to work with people that I'm stoked to work with. I mean, being in the studio at Wes, man, like from Limp, you know, he's Dude, he's such a great guitar player.
So, he's a great guitar player. So you know, we used to have them on the show quite a bit, you know, back in the day when Limp Bizkit was really popular. And I remember how impressed I was with him as a guitarist and also as just as a human. He was a good dude.
Yeah, he is. He's a good dude. And I can't wait to, you know, see what comes out of those sessions we just did together, because he's, you know, between him and Danny and Scroobius, I think some good music will come out of that.
Good times. All right, before we let you go, plans for the holidays? What are you doing at Christmas?
I will be in the studio all the way up until Christmas. And then at Christmas, I kind of geek out. You know, my daughter's born on Christmas Eve, so we always, you know, put snow in the front yard and we go sledding.
Oh,
it's been a
cool
tradition since she was a baby. So
that's awesome.
We'll do that, and then I'll go to the Inland Empire, man, where I'm from, on Christmas, and go hang out with the fam.
I want Travis to be my daddy at Christmas time.
Right.
That's like fun.
Yeah, it's going to be like awesome, fun, man.
All right, man. Well, we love you. It's always great to have you stop by K-Rock. You know, this is your home, and it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Again, if you want to win Travis's car, you can go to starsandstraps.com, or you can go to tillys.com and register. The grand prize drawing is going to be on Christmas Eve. Somebody is going to win that sweet, sweet 65 Coupe DeVille. We'll be looking forward to all the great music from Blink and everybody else that you work with next year. And just have a wonderful, safe, happy holiday, man, and we'll talk to you again in 2014, okay?
You too, man. Happy holidays, you guys.
Why is Travis the coolest?
I'm sorry.
He was just born that way, I guess.
My time's up. I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance to write down my answer. Is this the double jeopardy?
The coolest. That's all there is. Love it when that dude stops by. That's all. Hey, party people, it's Monday. That's the bad news. The good news is Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Since it's Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you can see what people went to see over the weekend. And most moviegoers had a little taste for Hobbit. Now you got to give yourself a little Hobbit this time of year. Get yourself one of those little crunchy Hobbits. Pop them in your mouth.
They're delicious.
The Desolation of Smaug came in at number one, $73.7 million. Made it number one at the box office. Behind that was Frozen, $22.2 million. Tyga Perry's A Medea's Christmas debuted at $16 million. You kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You thought it would be more or less?
Either way, unacceptable.
All right.
$16 million worth of people went to see that movie.
No.
Even Tyler Perry fans had to look at it and say, oh, come on. What? No. There are the cable guys in it.
There might be something to, I just want, and I have to play the Kevin card here because he's not here to speak for himself, but there has to be a, I just want something dumb and mindless that I can laugh at over the holidays. Let's go see that. Right?
I want a good movie.
Well, be hard pressed to find one in a theater showing A Medea Christmas. The Hunger Games: Catching Fire was fourth, and Thor: The Dark World fifth. Out of the Furnace, Delivery Man, Philomena, The Book Thief, and Homefront rounding out top 10 at the box office this weekend. Oh, looks like Khloe Kardashian's bounced back pretty quick. Just filed for divorce from her husband Lamar on Friday, and according to the gossip websites like X17 Online, already has a new boyfriend.
Hmm.
That boyfriend? Los Angeles Dodger Matt Kemp.
She has a type.
They have photos of the couple leaving her house at 10 a.m. together, but driving separately. Oh, you thought you were so clever, kids. And then they drive to the gym together, where they proceeded to work out together for about 2 hours, and then they hopped back in separate cars and left separately so as not to be associated. But ha! We've got your little game figured out, Khloe. Most shocking part of the whole story, Khloe Kardashian spent 2 hours in a gym. Turned out Nat Gabb was just bench pressing her. Come on, Chewy. Let's blast this thing and get out of here. Over the weekend, some sad news. Several legendary performers passed away, not the least of which was Peter O'Toole. Renowned and prolific Irish actor, probably best known still for his breakthrough role as Lawrence in Lawrence of Arabia. He was battling a long sickness. He was 81 years old when he finally succumbed. He was nominated 8 times for an Oscar, but never won one. He did receive an Honorary Academy Award in 2003, but his lifetime was filled with incredible roles like Beckett and Goodbye, Mr. Chips, The Stuntman, A Lion in Winter, My Favorite Year, a very, very funny turn in that particular film. He partied as hard as he worked. Some would say harder. A lot of drinking, a lot of carousing, a lot of smoking. So he made it to 81. Not bad, given his...
I want a good movie.
Okay. Fair enough. Joan Fontaine also passed away. She was 96 years old today. Another popular actress, although her work was in the 40s and 50s primarily. And Tom Laughlin, who was Billy Jack.
Asshole.
He is not an asshole at all. Seemed like a very nice guy. Are you just pushing any button now at this point? He starred in, directed, and co-wrote Billy Jack, which was such a cult classic that it spawned two sequels, The Trial of Billy Jack and Billy Jack Goes to Washington. I think they were running out of ideas by the time they sent him to Washington. Sadly, he never got to make his dream film, which was A Billy Jack Christmas. That would be, I'm kidding. Never wanted to do that. Victoria's Secret model Lindsay Ellingson got engaged over the weekend. Her boyfriend's a guy named Sean Clayton. He is a medical equipment sales rep. Isn't that refreshing?
Wow.
A guy with just a job is engaged to a Victoria's Secret model.
How did he meet her, I wonder?
I have no idea, but I'm just just a regular old guy's got one now.
Usually models don't date civilians. Although, Ralph, that might be an interesting phone topic, is to have guys that call in who dated models.
Look, there are a lot of models out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of girls who did a brochure or showed up in the
Sears catalog
or
right?
Something like that. But Victoria's Secret, that usually is that's a rarefied atmosphere.
Usually you got to be Leonardo DiCaprio to bag one of those.
So it's nice to hear one of us foot soldiers getting up there with the non-coms. Speaking of Peter O'Toole, I was just handed this. Lawrence of Arabia, the film that made him famous, is playing at both the Arrow and the Egyptian theaters at the end of this month. So if you have any interest, you want to check that out. There you go. And good news last night. A lot of people were surprised I have not mentioned this yet. But last night's Family Guy episode, the Christmas episode, did in fact bring back Brian Griffin from the dead.
Yay!
America's favorite talking pet dog, Brian, is back. So everyone can relax and everyone can stop putting their petitions up online. And it was never the intention of the creators or the staff and crew at Family Guy to leave Brian out of our lives for very long. In the words of Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane, who tweeted this shortly after the episode aired, "I mean, you didn't really think we'd kill off Brian, did you? Jesus, we'd have to be effing high." So that was never their intention.
Spoiler alert, but how did they bring him back from the dead, Ralph? Have you seen that episode?
I did. I was all over that episode.
Because you were the veterinarian who put Brian down, of course, a few
weeks
ago. I
didn't put him down. I just couldn't save him.
How did they bring Brian back?
All right, spoiler alert. Stewie is able, through a series of misadventures, able to get a hold of his one of his time machines again.
Oh, great.
He goes back and saves Brian's life before the car comes down the street while they're setting up their street hockey equipment. So
it is a holiday miracle.
It is truly a Christmas miracle. And that's all Stewie wanted for Christmas. He wanted his friend back, and he was able to make it happen. Though, personally, I'm going to miss Vinny. I liked Vinny. I thought he was pretty funny. Vinny was the replacement dog that took over for a couple episodes, voiced by Paul Chirico from The Sopranos. Played Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
From The Sopranos, he was the voice of Vinny the dog, which was very funny. He's like, "I'm hungry and angry. I'm going to go beat up a sandwich." Today's celebrity birth. Yes? Yes, Beam? You had something?
Today's celebrity birthdays, yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Writer-producer Stephen Boschko, 70 years old today. Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. He's one of the guys with the beard. You know the funny thing about ZZ Top? One of the guys' last name is Beard. He's the only guy who doesn't have the beard. A little ZZ Top trivia for you.
Thank you.
He's 64 years old today. Benjamin Bratt is 50 years old. J.B. Smoove of Curb Your Enthusiasm, very funny comedian and actor, is 48. DJ Paul Van Dyke is 42. Also had that long-running show with Mary Tyler Moore. We played a guy, a comedy writer. It was very entertaining sitcom.
That was Dick Van Dyke, completely different.
You don't have to call the guy a dick, okay? You don't even know him. He's 42 years old today. And Kristen Ritter, she was the bee from Apartment 23.
That's right.
32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, the guest we've been wanting to have all year long, and he is just coming in under the wire in one of our final shows of the year, Patrice Wilson will be on with us tomorrow.
What?
Lisa, you recognize that name?
I don't.
He is the creator and founder of Arc Music Factory, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
The creative
genius.
Behind Friday and Thanksgiving and Chinese food and many, many other beloved classics.
Wow. That's awesome.
So we get to ask him, what's up?
Yes.
He may be the richest guy we talked to all year long. Patrice Wilson on the program tomorrow. Also, the casting director for a show we told you about last week called Botched. This is about plastic surgery gone wrong. We'll find out. I guess they're looking for people who want to be on the show, who want to get their plastic surgery fixed. So that should be fun. Top 10 Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup videos of the year on the program tomorrow. And there's a little film coming out on Wednesday called Anchorman 2. If you love Lamp, you're going to be happy to know that Steve Carell will be joining us on the program tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
So that is a lot of show. That's all right here on the world famous K-Rock.